after an airstrike on a missile depot near Sana. The state news agency, which is run by Houthi rebels, said 25 people were killed and nearly 400 wounded. There was anger from people who survived the attack.
These weapons hit people's homes. This is what the cowards use to bombard innocent civilians.
For the last 3 weeks, a coalition led by Saudi Arabia has been targeting Shiite Houthi rebels and their allies in Yemen. Saudi Arabia has accused Iran of backing the Houthis, which both the rebels and Tehran deny.
U.S. President Barack Obama warned Iran against shipping weapons to Houthi rebels, as 9 Iranian ships are reportedly headed towards Yemen, possibly bearing supplies. Obama's warning to Iran came after Saudi Arabia announced the end of its month-long airstrike campaign against the Houthi rebels, in which more than 900 people are reported to have died. We go to DW's correspondent Richard Walker to hear more on the situation.
But the White House has acknowledged that there are concerns over possible Iranian shipments of arms to the Houthi rebels. They have essentially suggested that that is a concern.
The airstrikes began after Houthi rebels forced Yemeni President Abed.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
I'm Amy Goodman. In Baltimore, Maryland, thousands of people have continued to peacefully protest over the police custody death of Freddie Gray. Gray died of spinal injuries a week after he was arrested for looking a police lieutenant in the eye, then running away. His family said his spine was 80% severed at the neck. Overnight, thousands of police and National Guard troops continued to enforce a 10 p.m. curfew. Newly confirmed Attorney General Loretta Lynch said the Justice Department would provide whatever resources are needed to control the protests.
I have been in direct contact with officials in Maryland, including the governor, and I've directed this department to provide any assistance that might be helpful in restoring calm and resolving the unrest that broke out across the city.
After arresting more than 200 people overnight on Monday, Baltimore was forced to release about half of the protesters Wednesday amid a spate of legal challenges. Some of the prisoners said they were held without food for 18 hours. An 18-year-old shown in a picture smashing a police car with a traffic cone is being held on $500,000 bail after his stepfather convinced him to turn himself in. Schools reopened in Baltimore after they were closed following Monday night's uprising, which saw cars and buildings torched. But the public was barred from attending a Baltimore Orioles baseball game at Camden Yards, meaning the teams played for an empty stadium for the first time. The Associated Press called it, quote, one of the weirdest spectacles in Major League history.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Jurisdiction here. Indian land. see it.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Rindigina.
Radio Intelligente Rindigina.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
It's getting worse. And instead of looking at the root, we're looking at the riot when the root is more important. They murdered somebody, you know, and a life was taken. So I think we need to, like, start paying attention to that instead of, like, and put more on preservation of life than, you know, preservation of buildings or whatever and property. I don't care about that. I care about people that look like me's lives.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salaton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under colonial, imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist, and anti-environmental oppression. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com, and along with our executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. And as always, feel free to get in touch with us via Twitter at Aboriginal Press and my own account at The Angry Indian, and by email through number4thworldradio@gmx.pt. Okay, so today's topics are, you know, I don't know, Lupa. I mean, how the fuck should we define this? I mean, you have black people that are, you know, 100% behind the riots. They don't give a fuck, right? And then you got black people that are totally embarrassed by this, that are doing Bill Cosby, and they're 100% against it no matter what. Now, I think I've made it motherfucking clear, you know, in print and on this show and in my, you know, little bullshit, stupid-ass fucking battles with trolls and shit on Twitter, I'm not into violence. You know, I understand defense. See, the idea of waging war on people, I don't know anything about that. I understand defending, see. I understand, you know, repelling borders, you know, but the idea of going after an objective, you know, waging war against somebody, you know, preemptive strikes and all that kind of bullshit, no, you know, I'm not your expert on that. I know nothing about that. Okay. I know absolutely zero, zilch, by my own admission. You know, the idea of aggressive war, I know nothing about other than, you know, as an analyst. Because I've never gone around, you know, in my life, fucking with people. You see, I've never spent, you know, any energy trying to make other people fucking feel bad. And I'm not bullshitting about this. I'm not talking about teasing. I'm talking about I've never really went out of my fucking way to make somebody goddamn cry. To make them fucking feel bad. To hurt their fucking feelings. To make life difficult for them. To make things hard for them. I've never tried to fucking prevent somebody to buy a home some fucking place. And I've never supported anything like that. You know, I've never supported homophobia, see? I've never supported, you know, racism. And you know, we throw this term around racism, and white people have gotten so goddamn fucked up that nobody, you know, all of the language, just like Professor Noam Chomsky has said before, the language in the United States is so and England is so fucking ruined. It's so goddamn poisoned. It's so strewn with nonsense. And poetic license, or whatever the fuck you want to, you know, call it, that you can't even really have a goddamn conversation with anybody. You know, it's impossible. If you say that you're a fucking conservative, that means that you watch Fox, right? Which is ridiculous. If you're a real fucking conservative, you laugh at goddamn Fox. You think Fox is a fucking joke, and you think that anybody that takes Fox seriously is a fucking moonchild. If you're really a goddamn conservative. If you're really a fucking conservative. You know, the idea of liberal politics, progressive politics, or what have you. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of goddamn stupid-ass black suckers. Afro-American suckers. Black American, you know, wannabe Republican, but, you know, they can't get past the racism. They can't get past the misogyny. So they went over to Rand. You know, Ron and Rand Paul instead, right? With the whole libertarian message. And then when you point out their motherfucking racism and their connections to Bill White and Don Black and Dr. David Duke, right? Because he went and got his doctorate after a while. After, I guess... No, did he get his plastic surgery, Lou? Before... Are people even still calling it plastic surgery? Did he get work done before or after he got his doctorate? You know, it was... Said it was after he grew the beard. Yeah, well, hey, man, you know, I really don't give a fuck, but, you know, it's just like with Anders Behring Breivik. You know, he was such a white supremacist when he was in the United States, because, you know, he visited the United States twice. He was a fan of Robert Spencer and Pam Geller. Well, I guess he's still a fan of Robert Spencer and Pam Geller and the former Marxist that runs Frontline. David Horowitz. But you know, I heard now that he doesn't run Frontline anymore. He's totally disgusted with it. He says that he's been, you know, he's such a little goddamn weasel. You know, I heard from people that, again, I've talked about this. You know, someone who claims that he knew Horowitz back in the day when he was running with the Black Panther Party for self-defense as a leech. You know, other people have talked about this too. You know, when he used to write a little bit for Ramparts and shit, and they would, you know, go around to the Panther headquarters over there in Oakland or whatever the fuck. And you know, I heard, I don't know how true this is, but I heard that he used to go over there and pretty much, you know, ask to be hooked up with black women. You know, I don't know. And hey, man, whatever trips your trigger, you know, I don't give a fuck. But don't be a goddamn hypocrite about it. But see, you know, he'll fuck with a black woman, I suppose, if she's Hersey Ali or... Cola Booth or some shit, and they'll take it as a fucking privilege that they fucked David Horowitz, right? And, you know, I mean, these are all Zionists, and we're going to talk about this. You know, black people in Zionism, you know, Native Americans in Zionism, you know, what the fuck, man? You know, I've talked about this before. When you go on a goddamn black campus, or when you speak to brothers and sisters on many, you know, college and university campuses in the United States, they do so much fucking propaganda amongst the black goddamn community. It is easier to find an educated African in the United States that is more pro-Israel than they are pro-black emancipation in their own motherfucking country. And for some strange reason, none of them like Obama. You know, they like the fact that he broke the glass ceiling, I suppose. You know, when it depends on how you want to look at it, as far as I'm concerned, because if you really want to get into a race thing, his mama's white, right? Right? So how come he's not considered half white? I mean, just for argument's sake. See, I know, you know, that the one drop rule, you know, which totally affects my goddamn life, you know, it's the one fucking thing that matters. And there was a court case in Florida about this, where a white mother took her ostensibly white son. You know, these are two Caucasians. Now, they went to a court in Florida. This was several years ago. She wanted her son to be legally recognized as white, so he would, what was it? That he was going as white, but basically she wanted him legally recognized as black so he could take advantage of a... It was a college, it was a scholarship, right? It was some kind of a college fund. So he had been living as white and taking all the privileges and shit. And yeah, and then, you know, all of a sudden when he was black, it was convenient. But there was another case in Florida. You know what I'm talking about, but something about she wanted her children, because she had a few boys, that she wanted them legally recognized as white because they weren't. For whatever reason, and it had something to do with the father's background, something like that. Like she didn't know that he was mixed or something, and something like that. But both of them in Florida, which we all know is a goddamn state that is run, you know, has always been defined by its racism. You know, against natives, against African people. I mean, come on. And then after the Mario boat lift, then that started a whole new thing, right? And there were already Venezuelans, you know, white Venezuelans. And we need to say that. White Cubans and white Venezuelans who have a lot to do. You know, they have a lot to do with what the fuck is, you know, is really going down in terms of, you know, how can I say this? You know, there was a real issue when Carter was in office. Now, some of you might remember this, some of you might not. And, you know, the person that I'm going to bring up soon, you know, I have no idea how old she is, but I know I'm older than she is. And I remember this. But now, some of you might remember this. When President Jimmy Carter was in office, there was a police murder. I believe the name was McCullough, but I can't remember the first name. Now, he was a Marine. He had just come home and set up two businesses. And I want to say they were in Overton, but it wasn't Overton. It was Miami. Overton had happened about, what, like 15, 20 years before when they totally destroyed Overton, which was a black community of homeowners, lawyers, doctors, you know, black professionals that was raised under eminent domain to make room for a highway into Miami for the benefit of white folks. But they tore apart this black neighborhood in order to do so. And when the black folks took their, you know, their homeowning money and tried to buy homes, you know, scattered throughout the Miami area, right? You know, in traditionally white neighborhoods. Well, what do you think happened? They were burning crosses on their fucking lawns. They were breaking their goddamn windows and shit. They were setting fire to their lawns in some fucking cases. Oh, there's a documentary called Eyes on the Prize. You know, if you can still find it, you know, I know it's out there. You know, it's on video because I used to own it. You know, go check that out. Do the fucking research. You know, people are living in goddamn denial, you know, with this. To pretend that, you know, blacks have absolutely no motherfucking reason to be angry. No fucking reason to be upset. You know, we voted for Obama. See, and that's the liberal perspective. We voted for Obama, so you really need to motherfucking stop this goddamn rioting and shit. In the fucking meantime, and yes, I'm going on a tangent. I'm going on several. I've just been on several. Catch up. Catch the fuck up, man. You know? Because that's how this shit is coming out. You know, it's all tumbling down the flight of fucking stairs. Will it land on his feet? Nobody motherfucking knows. You understand? We'd have a black president here for two motherfucking terms. And while everybody's, you know, laughing, you know, my wife thinks it's fucking funny. You know, this goddamn anger management shit. See, I don't think it's fucking funny. But see, she's not political. I am. You dig? And, you know, there's nothing funny about this shit. You know, every 28 motherfucking hours or less, there's a black man getting fucked up in this goddamn country. And see, and all the shit that, and what's really pissing me off is, you know, with this taking sides on whether the riot should happen and whether the riot shouldn't fucking happen. As I said on the last fucking dispatch and the dispatch fucking before that one, I don't support goddamn violence. I support self-fucking defense. Now, I don't give a fuck about CVS, Pathmark, you know, whatever these fucking, what is it, Safeway, Albertsons, whatever the fuck, Thriftway, you know, I don't give a fuck about any of them. I don't have a stake in any of these goddamn things. But, you know, tearing them up, though, isn't doing a motherfucking thing, politically speaking. I mean, you're venting, and I understand that, and that's the only thing I'm going to condone, is the political aspect of the venting. That's the only thing I'm condoning. But, you know, as somebody who's lived through goddamn race riots, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to outrank a lot of you motherfuckers simply by my fucking vintage. And it's like, for those of you who, like, when my little sister and I were looking out the fucking window, and our dad hadn't come home from work yet and shit, alright? And we saw, all we saw was fire and people running around with fucking sticks and shit, people that we knew, and cops running through the fucking neighborhood with goddamn horses, and our fucking father had not come home from work yet, and I remember her and I looking out the window and saying to each other, he's dead. Because, see, I know that nobody's thinking about the fucking children and the women with this shit. Which brings me to the mother. That I don't know if I mentioned her or not already. And I'm sorry, because this is my third goddamn pot of coffee today. You know, I don't know if I mentioned her already. And I'm not going to mention her name. But, you know, she's all over the fucking media. And, you know, for slapping her kid up, basically. As far as I'm concerned, disciplining her goddamn son. You know, in public, and because everybody's got a fucking self, you know, got a goddamn camera on their cell phone now, and everybody wants to be a little motherfucking reporter and shit. So she was caught disciplining her motherfucking son for being involved in these goddamn riots. Now, I'm here, like I said, I'm hearing a lot of different things on a lot of different podcasts. Podcasts that I listen to, but do not necessarily fucking agree with. And, you know, I'm not going to name anybody because that's just going to start beef, right? You know, Luke, we already talked about that. So, you know, we're not going to bother. There's only one person we're going to name a little later, and that's only for specifics. Because, you know, this person and I got into it on Twitter and it's public already. But, yeah, like Cola Booth, right? That should be motherfucking public with her racist goddamn ass. Yeah, see, you know, she's another one. You know, Cola Booth. And this person is connected to them. Cola Booth, Hersey Ali. You know, I mean, was it Hersey Ali? Yeah. Sorry if I mispronounced the name. You know, they're hooked up with Geert Wilders. Geert Wilders is a goddamn racist son of a bitch. You know, it's hard to even imagine that motherfucker's Dutch. You know. No, really. I mean, you know, coming from this end of the Anglophone world, I mean, you know, my opinion of the Dutch is great. You know, my Dutch friends, and I have them, are fucking fantastic. Even the conservatives. Yes, see, because they're not a goddamn narrow-minded. I can deal with a European conservative almost any day, as opposed to a fascist, of course. We have to draw that goddamn line. But see, in the United States, they don't know how to draw that motherfucking line. They don't know what fascism is. They talk shit about it, but they don't know what it is. They talk all goddamn day long about the communism. They don't know what it is. They've never read Marx. They've never read Capital 1, 2, or motherfucking 3. They've never read the fucking speech to the Working Man's Association. They've never read any of it. They've never read the Jewish question. They've read absolutely motherfucking nothing, but they all have a fucking opinion. But they know not of what the fuck they speak. All right, and you have, like I said, what was it last time we was talking about, Luke? Contradictions, right? Here we have black people who won't do a goddamn thing for black liberation in this motherfucking country. And when I say black liberation, I'm not talking about hurting any motherfucking one. I'm not talking about rioting. I'm not talking about beating on, you know, anybody and race riots and all that kind of shit. See, that's what the fucking far right does. All goddamn day long, all they talk about is fear and loathing. You see? They're not about peace and justice. They're about peace and justice for white people. But they don't have enough fucking balls to come out and say that. And they want to quote MLK. You know, which is a crock of feces. You understand? Because MLK talked about black pride. You understand? He didn't say black power. He said black pride. He said the idea of black power, or when you start moving into a black xenophobia, black conservatism, right? Black far rightism, black fascism. When you start moving in that goddamn direction, it becomes a result of how people are being treated, because they're being forced to take fucking sides. They're being forced to look at their fucking skin color, their ethnic group, and their religion as their only fucking salvation, because your group continues to prey on people who are of their ethnic group, of their religion, of their motherfucking social strata. But the fucking oppressor will never say that. The oppressor will never admit, as I mentioned, Sean Paul Sartre, can a man condemn himself? Can Christians really say, well, we sat around doing goddamn the 1930s and watched the Germans and the Ustashi in Croatia burn Jews and Serbs and Turks and their own goddamn mixed populations and shit? Because, hey, you know, are we really going to say that? Are we really going to say to ourselves that Roosevelt, the Roosevelt administration, right, which had a pretty prominent, you know, Jewish man in his guy running the fucking treasury? And I know some fucking neo-Nazi son of a bitch is going to talk about the Illuminati or somebody listening to one of these goddamn stupid-ass fucking crazy-ass rappers who follow Alex Jones, who was one of the most racist goddamn fucking broadcasters on media. He said that the Trayvon Martin case was a hoax. He has supported George Zimmerman throughout this entire goddamn thing. He has been talking about white people being under threat from black racists. He complains about the fucking Black Panther Party, which doesn't exist any goddamn more. Okay? You know, I mean, where am I going with this, right? What I'm talking about, it's the same thing I've been goddamn talking about. I'm being redundant about the craziness of all of this, on how nobody is really asking themselves how the fuck we really got to this. We don't want to talk about indigenous fucking genocide. We don't really, really want to talk about African slavery other than to say that it's over. And that somehow having Barack Obama up there, even though he's being called a monkey, a nigger, a tar baby, all this kind of shit by politicians, by fucking private citizens, by foreign heads of fucking state, you know, damn near on a daily goddamn basis, he can't fucking say anything other than the protesters are wrong. Well, it's a given that the protesters are fucked up. But at the same fucking time, Mother Jones, and I mentioned this on the Bob Kincaid show, which, are we going to run some of that? Because I've been on like once a week almost for a little while. Well, it's up to you on how you want to do it. But, excuse me here, we're trying, well, I mean... No, because we don't know what we're going to do, right? Yeah, you know, I've been talking about this on his show, and he's been talking about it, you know. But I go on, and I offer my you know what I have to say, you know, which is always a lot. But, you know, that's neither here nor fucking there. The bottom fucking line is, we look at, say, again, at this mother. Excuse me. You know, we're looking at this mother here who, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm fucking concerned, is saying, okay, they're killing black men out here like it's fucking free. Every 28 hours, a goddamn less. My son is out here throwing fucking rocks and shit. They're going to catch him. They're going to fuck him up. And they're going to goddamn kill him. So I fucking put a stop to him because I don't want to see him fucking hurt. So now behind this, we get into a whole fucking big discussion about black parenting goddamn skills. Right? Rand Paul. You know, this is what Bob Kincaid had told me. I hadn't even seen the news yet. That motherfucking Rand Paul is out here talking shit about how there's no black fathers in the fucking black community. And then, you know, his own goddamn son got arrested that same fucking day or recently for fucking vandalism. Just like the Palin kid. He was fucking up some buses with some of his school homies. On the East Coast, yeah. Wherever the fuck it was, he was going to school. And then she got him sent to the military. And her daughter, her fucking daughter's, the father, yeah, the common law fucking father, his family are crack dealers. And then they just have a fucking brawl not too goddamn long ago. You know, all the meanwhile, she has nothing positive to say about natives. She's been trying to cut shit for native people when she was the cop-out goddamn governor up there. Well, I can't do what I want to do, you know, because I'm warning them about Russia, but they don't want to handle the problems over here. So, hey, I'm just going to quit. But then she wants to run for fucking president. And it's like, you know, come the fuck on, man. Come the fuck on, man. As I said to you, you know, that the system would have let McCain and Palin win had it not been for the fact that McCain is a loose goddamn mouth and Palin is a looser fucking mouth. They're liable to say any goddamn thing. McCain doesn't know what fucking country he's in, what goddamn decade most of the fucking time. And yeah, he's a veteran. Yeah, I know. And yeah, he was in the Hanoi Hilton. What was it? Hanoi Hilton, right? You know, okay, yes, I know. And they broke his fucking arms. I understand that. But he was over there strafing the fucking people. That's war, right? And I'm not even talking about that little accident he had on that flat top, am I? Because if it wasn't for the fact that his father was a flag rank and shit, he would have been court-martialed and been drummed out of the goddamn Navy. But see, that didn't happen, did it? That didn't happen, did it? You know, I mean, he's responsible for, yeah, at least a couple, right, of fatalities in that accident. And hey, you know, these things happen. But I'm not, you know, judging him based on that kind of shit. You know, if I wanted to judge him, I could judge him based on what his other motherfucking family members have goddamn said about him. In public about him. Because I don't know how many of you know this. Well, this has been in the news too. This is also part of this goddamn discussion. Fucking Ben Affleck. Yeah, so a lot of you thought Ben Affleck was cool because he is homies with the Bourne Identity motherfucker, Matt Damon, right? And he's cool, Matt Damon, because he lived down the hallway from Howard Zinn, right? Okay, yeah, so okay, we got these little 6 degrees of separation fucking things. But hey, man, Ben Affleck's family owned slaves, but he didn't want anybody to know it. Now, I can understand why that would be embarrassing, but this is my point. He's supposed to be a progressive, liberal, democratic white guy, right? You know, he was fucking with J-Lo, right? I mean, there's still a whole lot of motherfucking Puerto Ricanos, men who are still pissed about that shit. You know, but hey, yeah, because she was supposed to be with Mark Anthony. Well, that's another fucking thing all in of itself. But even then, that's the white Puerto Rican versus the Puerto Ricano, right? You know, Ibarro, right? You know, hey, right? Ibarro versus Cocolo. Cocolos, right? You know, that's another one, right? That's another one, right? You know, fuzzy hair. Yeah. Burr head, right? Yeah. Right. Okay, so let me try to get back here. So, yeah, man, you know, contradictions, you dig? So, you know, we're going to, you know, praise the woman on one hand. You know, the white bigots will praise her. If there were more parents like her, this shit wouldn't be happening. You know, nothing about jobs. You know, nothing about being profiled when you turn in your goddamn resume and cover letter and shit. You know, none of that. You know, none of like what I just experienced recently on the fucking bus. You know, this particular bus driver it's become clear to me. He's very uncomfortable with people of color. Now, you know, when kids get on the goddamn bus, yeah, they're fucking pain in the goddamn ass. You know, I'm going to say that. You know, they're too fucking loud. And no, I'm going to be straight up with you. I did not act like that when I was a fucking kid. You know, I'm sorry. You know, and it's not so much because I was raised better. I mean, I was raised very strict. Like I said, I was raised by fucking conservatives. My family were goddamn, we talked about this too, Luke, because the only reason they voted Democrat, and my father said this, is because they were blue collar. But they were Eisenhower Democrats, you know, I mean, who worked for Republicans. My mother worked for Republicans, and she was proud to say that, you know, so it was like, come on, man, churchgoers and shit, I mean, come the fuck on, man. I had to go to church every goddamn Sunday, you know, it's like, what the fuck, you know, and drug free, oh, hell, man, you know, the idea of, you know, spare the rod and all that kind of shit. I don't want to hear it from motherfuckers to talk about I was raised by hippies. Man, fuck you. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Not at all. I was raised by black goddamn conservatives, you know. This is why I can say what the fuck I say. Okay? You know, because the thing about it is they got conservative after we got solid. Because, you know, well, my father was pretty strict anyway. He's just one of them Bible, you know, Bible-thumping geechies. But, you know, my mother, no, you know, she was just the other end of the spectrum. And it was, you know, said, well, she's native, you know, she got Indian blood in her, and that's why she was like that. And they used to say that about her Jewish end, too, you know. Well, she was wild, you know, because, you know, got that combination, you know, hot blood, right? Yeah, man, people really used to say shit like this, man. And, you know, like when I was a kid, nice to hear, because there was a Rom family, but we didn't call them Roma back then. We didn't know anything about that, right? We called them gypsies. And yeah, people would be like, yeah, be careful, you know, because if anybody's child couldn't be found for like 5 seconds, they would accuse the gypsies of having stolen their kid. Now, we don't hear about that too much anymore. And I say not too much anymore, you know. I mean, I haven't heard it in decades, that kind of thing. But you don't hear that kind of anti-Roma thing anymore, because it's really, they've become so integrated with American society, unless you know, recognize the last names, or if you can speak Kent, you know, because I recognize it when I hear it, but I don't know anything about the language. That's their, or one of their tongues. You know, it's just, you know, they're kind of like here nor there. I mean, most people don't even realize that Roma or Gypsy people still exist in the United States, and they're all over the fucking place, you know. Selling you cars. Right? It's just like on the East Coast, almost all of the, depending on where you are. I mean, there are some places where when you go to buy gold, you know, like some of my wannabe gangster, you know, pals, they always want to wear some big fat chain, you know, whenever they got paid. You know, Chinese or Israelis, you know, or cats from India. But see, if you never leave your neighborhood, and if all of the dealers are from you know, South Asia, right? You know, your opinion is gold linked South Asia. So if there's a particular conspiracy theory about Hinduism and gold or whatever, you know, you're more inclined to believe that type of nonsense. And there probably is one. I'm not aware of any. Now, a lot of the motherfuckers I know don't want to back up all that Illuminati crapola. You know, they talk about how all of the diamond and I suppose we talk about what was it, New York City, the Diamond Square over there, Diamond Center. It's in the 30s or something over there. I mean, I've been through it. And yeah, you see a lot of Hasidim, and you see cats with briefcases and shit, handcuffed and whatever to their fucking wrist. But you know, again, I suppose if you're from up there, you associate diamonds, gold, and Jews, right? But in Philly, in Jersey, and in New York, too, I mean, you got Hong Kong gold dealers. And I've heard people come up with conspiracy theories about, you know, the Chinese and gold. But, you know, the Illuminati thing, they associate with the diamonds and the gold. And if they know anything at all about South Africa, because a lot don't when I've had to tell them about the connection, you know, which is pretty fucking funny. You know, I'm like, you're buying diamonds, but you know the conditions in which these diamonds are coming out. And the fact that diamond probably is nowhere worth what the fuck you paid for. The whole scandal about the diamond industry, right? You know, I mean, so many people do not realize that their opinions and their analysis, if you want to call it that in some of these cases, is directly linked to their visceral experience. It's directly linked to it. I mean, a lot of people have accused me of being partial to Jewish issues because I'm part Jewish. Well, I mean, probably. You know, probably. But do I support the state of Israel politically? Absolutely not. You know, should the state of Israel exist? Frankly, no. You know, I mean, it's already been done now. But it's like at the time, you know, in 47, 48, absolutely fucking not. Absolutely fucking not. You know, the King David Hotel and all that kind of shit. Jewish terrorism from the Haganah, the Irgun. Are you crazy? Lehi? I mean, these motherfuckers are working with the Nazis. You know, we keep hearing about al-Husseini from, you know, the Grand Mufti at that time. And he did go to Croatia. And he did recruit Muslims for the fascist cause. He certainly did. And he had a stipend and he was made a general by the Nazis. Motherfucker, right, he certainly did. But what the fuck? So did Lehi. So did fucking Lehi. So did the Irgun. You know, I mean, are you fucking kidding me? The Haganah, they all had contact with the Nazis. And how about von Mildenstein? He brought all, I mean, he came over with the Jewish fucking family. There's a documentary about that, The Flat. I can't remember the cat's name, but it's Arnon somebody, but it's about his family. But I already knew about this because I had been turned on to the Ankara papers. you know, some time back by an older gentleman, you know, who was a Zionist. He was a labor Zionist. I mean, a lot of you don't know that Professor Noam Chomsky is still a Zionist. He's still a Zionist. But, you know, you have to look at what Herzl started, right, in terms of, you know, bringing this together, politically speaking, and its own, you know, variations. I mean, every Zionist is not necessarily the same. But at the same time, I mean, when you really look at what the fuck has been happening, you know, as a group, when somebody identifies themselves as a Zionist, you really have to wonder what the fuck they're talking about. I mean, what it has been narrowed down to has been, well, there has to be this Jewish presence in Palestine. But they don't talk about the Uganda plan. They don't talk about the Paraguay plan, you know. They don't talk about taking over parts of China and shit on behalf of the British crown or on behalf of the Kaiser. You know, I mean, they even approached the Tsar at one point. Give us a piece of land and we'll fight for you like the Cossacks against whoever the fuck you want us to, this, that, and the other. Even other Jews. And when you look at, like, say, the damage that happened with the attack of the King David Hotel, how many Jews were killed? But see, no, nobody's going to talk about that. I mean, how many assassinations? Count Folk Bernadotte, you know, Bernadotte. I mean, that's just the one I can think of. But there was a whole lot of people, a lot of innocent people that got, you know, fucked up by them. You know, all in the name of Jewish liberation, right? But, you know, we're going to play partisan bullshit right now. But what, you know, we're going to take a quick break because I've been going on. But what I want to do is that we're going to play some audio from, I'm not going to diss her. I mean, she's black, but I, you know, her, we are not on the same page, okay? She's 100% guy. I don't know if she's Jewish or not, you know, but she's a 100% fucking Zionist. And she's with, she's down with, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, some real serious black hypocrites like Kola Booth. And we're going to get into, I mean, if you're not aware of this, you know, she called me a greasy Indian. And talked about how black men are totally fucked up. I wrote a piece about it. It's on my personal blog, aboriginalwriter.wordpress.com. Go check it out. Just put Kola Booth into the search bar and you will find it. And, you know, Roseanne Barr, another one, who seems to, yeah, after she found out that she was Jewish, right? Like Katie Lang, you know, all of a sudden, and I don't know about Katie Lang in this respect, but I just remember there was like this thing where everybody wanted to be Jewish. And it's just like with Native people. You know, here it is, I'm Native, and I'm also Jewish, and I'm also Filipino, and I'm black, and I've always identified with those four things. Always. Now, if I've had problems, it's because people gave me motherfucking problems. You know, pick a motherfucking side. And then, you know, being confused for Latino, or whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean. You know, Dominican in some places, Puerto Rican in others, Brazilian here, you know, or Turk over here, whatever the fuck. Because, you know, I'm in a particular position to where I can't really be pigeonholed on sight, right? Or by the way I carry my fucking self. And I admit, I dress like a white dude, you know, for all kinds of purposes. You know, I am not a threatening black male, you know, when you fucking see me. So it's like, you know, and having been, and by my own admission, I was a Tom most of my fucking life because I was raised to be that way. But I went further. I've been pretty open about all of this. So when I come down on black people for taking certain positions, you got to understand, it's because I've been on both ends. You know, like I said, my parents were black conservatives, but they were, you know, an anomaly. The rest of my goddamn family, black revolutionary on my father's side. You dig what I'm saying? You know, I'm talking about heavy Geechee pro-black. Do you dig what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, activism for generations, all that kind of bullshit. We've had relatives killed by the Klan, by police. You know, that side of my family's no motherfucking joke. So, you know, I had this consciousness, but then at the same time, within my home, I was raised to be a white black man. So, you know, I've done both. I've had one foot in both goddamn worlds. And because of that, you know, I've been very cosmopolitan. And like I said, this is where I went further than what my parents had goddamn intended. Because I felt that if I was going to live like a white guy, that I could have all the freedom that a white guy did. So I did all the shit that I wanted to do. You know, for those of you who are up on Jack Johnson, the boxer, the real Jack Johnson, the original Jack Johnson, who was, you know, talking shit when there was no double N... CP, you know, NAACP. I mean, there was no fucking Urban League. There was no, like Muhammad Ali said, there was no nobody. And he used to walk the motherfucking streets, you know, with the Klan and shit, and white citizens' councils were out there lynching black folks. And he did what the fuck he wanted to do. He said, hey, I'm an American. I was an American before there ever was a goddamn American. Okay? I walk where the fuck I want to walk. I'll do what the fuck I want to do. If I want to sleep with white women, I will. You know what I'm saying? If I want to dress well and wear a big fucking diamond and shit, I will. You know, and if I want to step into the fucking ring with a white dude because I think I had the ability to motherfucking match him man to man, eye to eye, I will. And white America did everything they could to get that motherfucker other than murder him. And they tried that too. So they eventually got him for being with his wife. Right? Talking about you cross state goddamn lines. The fuck a white woman. You know, one way or the other. They can't get you one way, they get you the motherfucking other. But see, the thing about it is, though, you know, I'm taking the position that the talented 10th leader at the time, W.E. What's that, Luke? Yeah, yeah, we're going to go to the break. You know, W.E. B. Du Bois, or Du Bois, wherever the fuck you want to go. You know, all right. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, I take his position, Du Bois' position, that, you know, I don't agree with his choices, because I don't, like I said, it's not so much deep as with white women. He liked to fuck with fast women, you know, sporting women, as they used to call them, you know, prostitutes, basically. You know, chicks that, you know, gambled, smoked, and fucked around with dope and all that kind of shit. And, of course, they were working girls. Which, again, no shame, right? But, you know, this is what he liked to do. He liked to run in those circles, the red light districts and what have you. So he's like, hey, you know, what he likes to do is really his motherfucking business. Whether I like it or whether you like it or whether the black community accepts it or not. The fact is, he's an American. He's got a right to do what the fuck he wants to do. You know, I'm supportive of differences of opinion. But you can't be a fucking Zionist, be black, and then turn around and fucking criticize the people who are motherfucking offering their support, you know, tacit or implied. You know, whatever the fuck, you know, whatever language you want to use about these riots, and make it out that the fucking people who are out here trying to motherfucking bring some kind of consciousness to this shit. Yeah, so, you know, we're going to go on to this break, but, you know, my criticism here, my critique, you know, this is going to be, you know, twisted 88 different ways to Sunday. But I just think that it's complete bullshit when somebody black is going to use all of the code words to put out a really slick production. A real slick production that is condemning the protests, the protesters, and basically anybody that supports this shit. And, you know, Prager University, I never really paid any attention to them before because they sponsored this. But I'm going to keep my fucking eye on them after this, because I see that they hooked up with some real serious Hasbara. And it's pretty funny that they want to involve themselves in this case by using this black woman to front for them. And like I said, you know, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm the Angry Indian. And we're going to take a pause for the cause here. And come back and do a deconstruction of this, because I find it really fucking unfortunate that in the middle of all of this, you know, every 28 fucking hours, and it's like, you know, we have black Zionists that are coming down on the black community, and we have Jews in the United States that are supporting, and I suppose, you know, perhaps this person too, supporting the genocidal methods being used by the state of Israel, or the Jewish state in Levant, as far as I'm concerned, against indigenous Palestinians. I'm talking about people from Brooklyn, New York, and Philly, and Miami, and Cincinnati, and shit, who are over there claiming a birthright right that, you know, they don't have, you know, while everybody is colonializing indigenous territory in North America. I mean, I find that objectionable, and I find it questionable. And I find it hypocritical, and we're going to talk about it some more. So this is The Angry Indian. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
Hi, this is Zesh9 from Zesh9.com. and you're listening to the Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
The state's attorney had literally just walked to the podium as I was coming in here, so I have not had an opportunity to see the nature of the charges. I didn't watch the press conference that she engaged in. So let me just say this, building on what I said in the Rose Garden, it is absolutely vital that the truth comes out on what happened to Mr. Freddie Gray. And it is my practice not to comment on the legal processes involved. That would not be appropriate. But I can tell you that justice needs to be served. All the evidence needs to be presented. Those individuals who are charged obviously are also entitled to due process and rule of law. And so I want to make sure that our legal system runs the way it should. And the Justice Department and our new Attorney General is in communications with Baltimore officials to make sure that any assistance we can provide on the investigation is provided. But what I think the people of Baltimore want more than anything else is the truth. That's what people around the country expect. To the extent that it's appropriate, this administration will help local officials get to the bottom of exactly what happened. In the meantime, I'm gratified that we've seen the constructive, thoughtful protests that have been taking place, peaceful, clear calls for accountability, that those have been managed over the last couple of days in a way that's ultimately positive for Baltimore and positive for the country. And I hope that approach to nonviolent protest community engagement continues. And finally, as I've said for the last year, we are going to continue to work with the task force that we put together post-Ferguson. I'm actually going to be talking to mayors who are interested in figuring ways to rebuild trust between community and police and to focus on some of the issues that were raised by the task force right after this meeting. Our efforts to make sure that we're providing greater opportunity for young people in these communities, all those things are going to be continuing top priorities for the administration, and we'll probably have some more announcements and news about that in the days and weeks to come. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
This is Radio Angwa India. Angwa Indian Radio for the Fourth World.
Roseanne Cash for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Vibe, the host and producer of the Dr. Vibe Show at thedrvibeshow.com. At our show, we do conversations and provide information for black men and those who love them. So come check us out. Also at iTunes, and also selective episodes are featured at the Good Men Project, one of the most viewed websites in the world for men. So find out about black men and those who love them at the Dr. Vibe Show.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice. End HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination. Get information from your community health center or nursing station, or visit www.caan.ca.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African American.
Yeah, I was driving in today and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at headonradionetwork.com. There's a listen live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.
About me, and now
when I see you, all I can say is peace. Peace go with your brother. Seem to matter much now, just what I say. Peace go with your brother. You the kind of man who think he got to have his own way. You my father, you my uncle and my cousin and my son. But sometimes I wish you were none. But I manage to smile and I say, peace go with your brother. Be arguing now. Time is right up on us now, brother. Don't make no sense for us to be arguing now. All of your children and all of my children are gonna have to pay for our mistakes someday. Yes, and until then, may peace guide your way. Yeah. Peace go with your brother, wherever you go. Peace go with your brother.
I'm Buffy St. Marie. We have overcome many obstacles in our history as Aboriginal people. We've survived. Today, we must work together, become leaders in the fight to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS in our communities. We have to think about the 7 generations ahead of us. It's a matter of survival.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And God damn the Democrats.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
This is Bruce LaBruce, www.brucelabruce.com, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and I'm sitting in with Guadalupe Morales at the board. This is the voice of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. We are carried by an ever-widening network of independent information providers, not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. You should check us out on Berkeley Liberation Radio, Radio Free Kansas. There's a lot of pirate radio stations that are picking us up, and you really need to get in touch with us. You know, numeral 4, TH. World Radio at gmx.pt. You really need to drop us a line or connect with us on Twitter at Aboriginal Press, or you can correct with me directly at The Angry Indian. That is again on Twitter. Let us know if you're hearing this on the airwaves. I mean, like I said, a couple of people have told us that they have heard this in the Midlands here on pirate radio. Yeah, I mean, one person said it was serious, right? But someone else said it was some pirate broadcast in the area. So, hey, we appreciate it, and we like to know. I mean, we do have a QSL card. I don't know how many people understand what that is, but... I'll go into it for 2 seconds. I mean, basically, you can write down, where you heard it, when you heard it, what have you. I mean, we do have one at... what is our web address? I forget sometimes. AboriginalRadio.wordpress.com. You can get the feed. You can get everything else over there. And like I said, we have QSL cards. And if you're interested, if you really want to show us or let us know that you support us and you're listening to us out there, because there was one person in Sweden, I remember, he dropped the line. That was some time ago, actually. But he has... Since then, you said that you've seen something. He still follows the feed. Yeah, because we use FeedBurner. So, yeah, if you want to let us know what's happening, if you want to help the show by promoting it that way, because we don't ask for money, we don't accept swag. We want to be completely independent over here. So we use totally open source materials. We use freeware whenever possible. We use the best of the web without taking advantage of it, because we believe it's complete bullshit. If you're going to be a 100% fucking dyed-in-the-wool capitalist and you're going to use Linux... I think that's contradictory. Go ahead and buy a Mac or a fucking Windows machine. I mean, why? Leave this for the fucking workers. Harrington's for the goddamn people. All right, so now we're going to talk about Zionism. So, like I said, there are people who are going to say that I'm anti-Jewish. Well, fuck you in advance, all right? My mother spoke Yiddish, so you can kiss my goddamn ass. Because I already know that's going to come up. Luke, what's going to come up. You know it's going to come up. Anytime you say any goddamn thing about Israel, if you say anything about Zionism, no matter how fucking objective. Because, and the operative word here is objective. Because this individual that we're about to talk about, and I'm going to say it like that because I'm being straight out. We're talking about her because when I asked her a direct question, she wouldn't answer. All right? On social media, on Twitter in particular. What the fuck are you talking about? Now, there's a video running around. Yeah, could you put it up on my screen here? Because I want to get this, correct, straight. Because, because I know there's going to be some contention about this shit. And I want to get this right. All right, so what am I talking about? Yeah, so this video of hers, which is not even really of hers. And I think I alluded to that before. But I see here, though, on the YouTube page that Lupe's pulled up, there's two, at least on this page. Now, the one that I'm referencing in particular is put out by Prager University itself. Now, like I said, I know nothing about Prager University. I know nothing about it, other than it seems to be really fucking pro-Zionist. I mean, that's what it seems. But then, you know, I don't know. Now, this thing is put out by Prager University, right? And it's called Don't Judge Blacks Differently, which sounds objective, doesn't it? Now, you know, as somebody who was trained in advertising, otherwise known, a.k.a. propaganda, you know, don't judge blacks differently. Well, who's going to argue against that except a full-out bigot? Don't judge blacks differently. Now, I'm reading the text here that was put up by Prager University on their YouTube channel. Now, again, the title of this is Don't Judge Blacks Differently. And then it goes, published 27th April 2015, Does Race Trump Truth? In a confrontation between police and perpetrators, what is more important, facts or skin color? When protests morph into riots, do we excuse bad behavior based on race? If we do, how are we ever going to end racism? Chloe Valdery, a student at the University of New Orleans, confronts these critical questions and offers a compelling answer. And then it goes on about, you know, you can support Prager University, what have you. Now, I find a lot of this funny because, one, she doesn't offer an answer to any goddamn thing. And I'm trying not to, you know, load the dice before I ask you to do this, but there's no answer. You know, her answer is the same as the title, Don't Judge Blacks Differently, which means that it just goes into a fucking circle. It's like Sharknado. Or what I've been calling on Twitter the past year or so, Nazi NATO. You know, all the Nazis just keep going in a fucking circle. And black people can do the same goddamn thing. You know, well, the black man is God, son. Four brothers standing in the corner doing the parliament. Well, the black man is God, son. Now, I understand the philosophical fucking basis of this. But how many cats are not doing that? They just regurgitate. The black man is God, son. They don't go any deeper. So what's the next cat say? Black man is God, son. Because he doesn't want to not say this, because this cat with influence and authority just spoke out. The black man is God, son. So who's going to argue against that in a circle of black men? So then the third one says what? The black man is God, son. Does he ask the second or the first man why the black man is God? Or does he just accept it as, you know, what's the word that we were looking at yesterday when we were... No, not Cartesian. Because we were looking at existentialism. Sorry for this private conversation I'm having with Lupe, that, and you can't hear her. She doesn't want to use a microphone. I can't remember, but, you know... I forgot where I was going already, you know. But anyway, what I'm trying to get down to is... If four people, five people, six people, eight people, a town, a whole goddamn country, is just going to regurgitate something and never ask, well, it's like telephone, man. How do we get to this point? Now, first off, I don't believe in God, because God doesn't exist. There is no such fucking thing. Sky spook, all this bullshit, that's a manifestation of your motherfucking mind, Holmes. It's the same thing in anybody that's really deep with Hinduism. Ganesh doesn't exist. Kali does not exist. These are metaphors for natural things, for philosophical fucking, you know, insight. These are not literal fucking things you carry around in your pocket. I know that's what the rosary's for, but it's really not about nothing. It's made up, that rosary that you're holding in your hand is made up of whatever fucking materials it was made up by. You bought it from some goddamn where. Just like if you look in your Bible, I don't give a fuck which one you use. I was raised with the Douay. I don't care. You know what? You were what? King James, right? And then you got the Internationalist. And then you got the Feminist. I mean, there's 18 different Bibles out there. Pick whichever one you like. Pick and choose like Baskin Robbins. Do whatever the fuck you like, man. Pick one. You understand? Whatever gets you through the night, man. Pick whatever belief you need. But do realize that one of the reasons why cults exist, or how cults continue to thrive, or any goddamn you know, social order continues to exist. It keeps telling itself the same fucking lies. And it uses whatever means to perpetuate these fucking lies. Well, God gave us America. That's why the Indians are gone. We don't know why they died. Maybe it was disease. Maybe. Well, that's part of the question. The other part of the other fucking equation is the opportunistic violence of the U.S. goddamn army and motherfucking white folks who decided that we want this land and we have to get rid of the fucking Indians in order to take it. Okay, and then we came up with buffalo soldiers. Treated them like complete shit, ex-slaves, but we'll send them after Indians while promising them fucking land at the end of this shit. And it wasn't too hard to convince the buffalo soldiers to go at the Indian people, because earlier than that, the English and the Dutch had convinced New England natives to slave catch for them. You know, I mean, they didn't really make a difference. White people, black people to them were all fucking aliens, right? And the only reason you did have Irish, Native, Black intermingling was because, for the most part, you had black slaves, Indian slaves, and Irish and Scots-Irish indentured fucking servants and shit. Okay? So, you know, they were in the slave quarters at the same fucking time. But the difference was, after the white guy worked off his goddamn thing, he was free. But he wasn't completely free, because he came out of his indentured servitude with nothing. He had to become a wage slave at this point, which means he probably, if he didn't work for the man that he was a slave to, an indentured servant to, then he ended up going to another fucking plantation and becoming the goddamn overseer for wages. And then when blacks started complaining and started fighting back and started having slave rebellions, be it Nat Turner, be it Denmark Vesey, be it Shays Rebellion, which was led by a white man, by an Irishman, right? So, you know, then here comes these white wage slaves. They became the first slave patrols, which later became the police. Only because the Pinkerton Company standardized everything. And they politically got themselves aligned with the presidency, with some high-profile cases. Pinkerton detectives are all over the country. And they also stopped strikes and other labor disputes by forcibly going in and breaking people's fucking jaws. These were leg breakers. These were thugs, if we want to use the term thug, that were hired by the Pinkerton Company to go into a fucking town and basically quell it. It's the same thing with a Texas Ranger. You think a Texas Ranger was a dignified motherfucker? No. He had to be harder than the fucking men. I mean, they would send one Texas Ranger into a fucking town. One! And he didn't have all this fucking, you know, pepper spray and taser and all that bullshit. One. How about the legendary Bill Tillman? And how did he get? I mean, that he was sniped, basically. You know, I mean, depending on what story you want to believe, over there in Oklahoma territory. Because he knew, as soon as they, you know, nobody gives a fuck about this area. And then as soon as oil was whispered about, boom, all of a sudden all the Indians had to go. Fuck the Indians. All the Indians had to go. But I'm talking about, you know, in terms of toughness, you know. I mean, I'm sure he had to beat the shit out of some fucking buddy at some point just to get respect. And look how they took him out. You know, compared to policing today, I mean, come on. You know, the police came from the thug fucking culture. That's the bottom fucking line. It's the same thing with the fucking military. These are the guys that want to fight. They're not fighting because they have to. I mean, some of them may be on that line because they have to. But 9 times out of 10, if you're not doing defense, man, you're waging fucking war. You're starting a war. Because you don't want to do dialogue. You don't want to talk. Now, for those who think I'm talking shit, and yeah, I'm going on another tangent before I get to this Black Zionism, but, you know, I'm just laying out, in my mind anyway, a little bit of a fucking foundation. That there's ways to do things, and that I recognize that there's ways to do things. I consider myself to be an indigenous goddamn person. And my politics are indigenous. And it's like when I want to look at, well, politically speaking, how maybe things are run, I look into my own fucking social background as a member of the Fourth World. And I look at the, you know, Iroquois Confederacy. They're white men like Ben Franklin, the Freemason, right? Ben Franklin, the Hellfire Club member. Ben Franklin, the pothead, the alcoholic, the whoremonger, Ben Franklin. You know, when he wasn't, you know, high and was taking notes when he was attending, you know, meetings between Native nations and representatives and diplomats. And he recognized the respect and the, you know, the dignified manner in which, you know, relations were conducted. And he said, well, damn, if these savages can do this is what he said, if these savages can do this and have had this going on for 6,000 years, yeah, I think a group of white men can do this from England. Yeah, I believe so. I mean, yes, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So who the fuck is the savage here? If the Six Nation Confederacy, which was broken up by white people, right? You know, British colonists and shit, you know, beefing with the mother crown, right? You know, they didn't recognize Canada or the fucking United States, but they're split up between Canada and the fucking United States, right? You know? I mean, I know a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, when you deal with certain Native groups, man, you know, half of their nation is in Canada, half is in the United States. What does that tell you? But I think it's important to bring up a colonialist issue when we're going to talk about somebody that supports Zionism in the United States. And I said this earlier on Twitter. How can you be pro-Zionist and anti-colonialist here? You can't support Native people and Native struggles and support Zionism. You just can't. Well, they have a right to retake their land. Well, they left their land in 70 AD according to their own, you know, history. And besides, excuse me, you know, I mean, there's a whole lot of disputes now about the Exodus story. I mean, it's entirely possible that there was no such Exodus, that there were other groups, including Jews, you know, all of their lower ranking people. Because, of course, they were, you know, they had their own capitalisms, and, of course, they exploited people. You know, did they have slavery? From what we understand, it wasn't a huge slave society, just like they really didn't have much of an army. You know, I mean, of course they had a military, but it wasn't much of one. You know, I mean, it was imperialistic to a degree, but, you know, whatever the dispute was, evidently there were masses of people that left in a couple of different ways. You know, how many of them were Semitic? I have no clue. I mean, obviously there were Semites there. And then you hear stuff about the Hyksos and what have you. But for the most part, what we're understanding now from the archaeological evidence that's coming through is that this whole thing about the Exodus and the Bible and all that is nonsense. Jews have always been in that area. You know, I mean, Arab Jews obviously have never fucking left. You know, and it just, you know, how we hopscotch over, you know, things that we like and what we don't like. Which, again, leads me back to Black Zionism. Black Zionism is bullshit. I'm sorry. I have to say that. Black Zionism is nonsense. It's nonsense. It's just like, you know, Christian Zionism in this country. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. If you support that, but you can't support black people, give me a fucking break. You know, I mean, I wanted to ask this person if she was against the goddamn Warsaw Uprising. Real fucking talk. Real fucking talk. But I couldn't do that. And I'll tell you the exchange, because we're going to link to it anyway on the show. You know, I saw the video because she put it out there and I wanted to check it out. You know, I mean, I saw her. And like I said, it's perfect propaganda, man. She has natural hair. You know, she looks like an aware sister, right? She, you know, I mean, she comes across that way. And obviously she's not stupid. But I mean, you know, you look at that and we say treat black people equally. So, I mean, obviously any progressive person, and I guess they're sucking Mark Ruffalo into this. And I tried to tell you, Luke, I never really was keen on his thing, man. I said, you know, there's something wiffy-washy about this. And what did he say? It was Adam Baldwin was another one? Yeah, I don't know what's up with him. Isn't he the one that's the born-again Christian? You know, I don't know. You know, but it's like, you know, you look at it. But then when you listen to it, and we're going to play it. And again, you know, I know it sounds like I'm loading the dice, but really, I don't want to have to go through the time to really, you know, because it's just me here. And it's going to be considered unfair, I suppose, no matter what the fuck I do. And I would have asked her on the goddamn show, and she could have offered to come on, because I made it clear. You know, I said, what? Well, I have it right here, because you pulled it up. Fourth World Radio is in the studio. Topic. Video editorial by CVA Dary, which is, you know, Chloe Simone Valdery. That's CVADARY is her, you know, at, of course, is her handle on Twitter. But it's Chloe Simone Valdery. And like I said, we're going to link to the video. We're going to link to this little exchange we had here. And it was a little exchange because her attitude was already, well, I don't want to fuck with you. I'm not interested because I asked, are black apologists worse than the Klan? Because this is the argument that she makes in this video. Of which, again, I can't show you the images that she uses. And somebody already pointed out that she took images from racist videos about President Barack Obama. And this is what she's used to typify, yeah, Luke, right? To typify the people that she is accusing of basically excusing the unnecessary rioting that went down in Baltimore, which, like I said, you know, I hate to have to clarify shit like this, but there's a lot of fucking idiots out here, and you have to clarify shit like this because people hear what the fuck they want to hear, not what's there. And like I said, this is playing with the word objectivity, but it's not objective at all. You know, none of what I've talked about most of tonight has really been looked at objectively, and if I've been jumping around, that's because that's the way it was. And frankly, that's the way it is. And Fox News is you know, and Rupert Murdoch are partly the fucking blamed for this. But American exceptionalism is the other goddamn half, regardless if you're black, white, or otherwise. You know, you think everybody that I call with about this type of shit is white? I mean, there's a lot of people, and I have to say this too. You know, I'm in a mixed marriage, but goddamn, you know, it's like they marry a Jewish guy, and all of a sudden they're pro-Israel, you know? I don't give a fuck the Asian, the black, whatever. And no matter what the fuck Israel does, Operation Cast Lead, Operation Protective Edge, the assassinations, the murders, you know, they don't give a shit. You know, the fact that IDF soldiers will defecate into a goddamn bucket and pour it on Palestinians and shit, you know, from their posts when they're on rooftops. No, you know, all of that is okay. And then they want to ask dumb questions about, like, why are Palestinians goddamn angry? And then if you ask them about the Nakba, they don't want to talk about that. They want to keep bringing up the European Holocaust, which would be fair if it was relevant. But then they want to go to al-Husseini, but they don't want to talk about the fact that there were Jewish goddamn conservatives, Jewish fascists, that were working with the goddamn Nazis too. That is totally not up for discussion, right? That's totally not up for discussion. And that's ridiculous. It's totally goddamn ridiculous. And it's unfair, and it's fucking revisionist history. But then again, Zev Yabotinsky, The Iron Wall. I've asked everybody here to read that. He mentions Native Americans. He goes, if the Mayans and the Aztecs would not give up their goddamn land to white people, to the Spaniards, why should we think that the Palestinians are just going to give us their fucking land? We're going to have to wipe them out in order to fucking take the land. If you're not willing to do that, then don't talk about Israel. Ben-Gurion has said the same fucking thing. Moshe Dayan has been quoted as saying things like this. So let's fucking get realistic. And so here's a black person who is going to support that and then get angry over some broken fucking windows. And I'm going to say this fucking again, but not to be Bill Cosby-like, but what the fuck? No, I think that there's a better way to goddamn do shit. And if you're going to motherfucking use that kind of shit, I mean, if they had went and attacked something that actually represented the system, then I could have said, okay, I can see the rebellion in that. No, I'm not calling this a rebellion for the simple fact that it has no goddamn direction. And I don't give a fuck what these Afrocentric apologists want to say, because she didn't go there. She didn't go there. And I know, we need to run it. But what I'm pointing out is that she didn't go there by being specific. Now, I just wrote a goddamn ebook or paper, what have you. You know, the mismeasures of revisionist Afrocentrism. Why I point out that, you know, this Melanite bullshit is nonsense. There's the black man is God thing. There's the philosophy behind it. If you're going to look at it literally like that, then really, you're totally missing out on what the fuck Clarence 13, may peace be upon him, was trying to fucking get across. And quoting Malcolm X all day, too, without understanding what the fuck he was talking about politically and why he's dead and why he was shot by black people. See, she didn't go there. She didn't do that. She just basically condemned all of the fucking protesters and anybody that was basically, you know, trying to explain things. Because like I said, there's, you know, I don't want to, you know, name them. Actually, there's three of them, three black podcasters that were, you know, encouraging basically to burn it all motherfucking down. You know, it, as far as I'm concerned, because that's the way it's going to be twisted by the by white folks. But that is kind of what they were, you know, implying. They didn't, like Floyd McKissick back in the day. Who gives a fuck if it burns down? We don't own any of it. You know, and my argument is, it has nothing to be with being an Uncle Tom or fucking being objective. It's just common goddamn Cartesian common sense. See, here, look, this is where I talk about Cartesian common sense. Cartesian common sense says you don't fuck up your own goddamn neighborhood because you live there. Now, I understand we're going to get emotional and fuck this shit up, but the bottom line is, we'll be stuck here. You know, as somebody who came out of a fucking neighborhood that got wrecked doing a fucking riot, they never fixed the motherfucker, and we never fixed it. Even if we had the money, we probably wouldn't have fucking fixed it, because out of pure ignorance, not because we're black, but because we're untrained. Because our leaders have been murdered and put into the motherfucking hole. Albert Woodfox, 40 years in goddamn solitary fucking confinement in Louisiana. Chloe Valdery is in New Orleans. Why doesn't she talk about that? But she's talking about fucking Zionism. This is a man who the fucking warden says, we're not going to release this brother. This is the Black Panther. We're not going to release him until he renounces the fucking Black Panther Party. What happened to Ramona Africa? They made her do the full fucking term for the simple fact that she wouldn't renounce MOVE. And now she's one of the few people standing up for Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is dying. Execution by motherfucking isolation. By negligence. In the state of Pennsylvania. See, Ms. Valdery could be talking about that. And okay, Lupe, I'll stop fucking talking. Okay, let's run it. Here it is. In her own goddamn words, speaking up for Prager University, and please run the credits for that as well. I want people to know where this is coming from. Listen to this. This is Chloe Simone Valdery speaking for Prager University on the riots or the uprising in Baltimore.
Many people believe that the election of a black president would advance America to a new era of racial harmony. That belief proved to be mistaken. In retrospect, it was naive to think that a single event, even the election of a black president, would wash away a stain so deeply ingrained in our culture. The debate about how much racism there is in America, and specifically the disparity between the races, is just as fierce as ever. That's okay with me. Discrimination still exists. Let's deal with it openly and honestly. Unfortunately, that's very hard to do. One reason I've discovered is that many people feel that they have to treat blacks with kid gloves. They think this is noble, enlightened, progressive. It's not. It's demeaning and condescending. In fact, it's racist. A recent experience brought this home to me. In an anthropology class, my professor decided to discuss the shooting of Michael Brown, a black teenager, by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Before I tell you what transpired, I need to tell you something about this professor. First of all, I like her very much. She's interesting and engaging, but more importantly, she took a non-PC approach to the class, which I found refreshing. She encouraged us to study the data dispassionately and draw our conclusions from that. But when the subject of Ferguson came up, all this objectivity went out the window. When a classmate said, following a debate over the details of the case, that the facts ultimately don't matter, my professor agreed. All that matters, this classmate added, is that a black boy was killed by a white cop. Another example of racism in a racist society, pure and simple. So therefore, riots that followed the grand jury decision not to indict the officer were the legitimate reactions of people who just couldn't take it anymore. And that's when I knew that what I was really hearing was not an expression of compassion and understanding, but something else. Rioting and looting are acceptable forms of behavior? Why? Because the rioters and looters have no other options? Really? In free democratic America, you have no other options? Does this apply to all ethnic groups? Hispanics? Southeast Asians? Pacific Islanders? Of course not. But we, the enlightened ones, are ready with a pre-packaged list of excuses when blacks riot and loot. Worse, when it comes to judging black behavior, even facts don't matter. All that matters is the skin color of the teenager and the skin color of the cop. Well, not in my world. If a white cop kills a white kid, the facts matter. If a black cop kills a black kid, the facts matter. If a black cop kills a white kid, the facts matter. And if a white cop kills a black kid, the facts matter. To suggest anything else is to perpetuate discrimination, the very thing that those who espouse social justice claim to want to end. Anyone, whether white or any other color, who excuses blacks for bad behavior just because they are black, obviously doesn't consider blacks their equal. Rather, they view blacks, in effect, as children who are unable to adhere to the standards to which every other group is held. Think carefully about that. The only difference between this view and that of white supremacists is that white supremacists are honest and open. In their view, blacks are inferior to whites, period. But those who condescend to blacks cloak themselves in self-righteousness, so somehow that makes it okay. The bad behavior happens, a riot in Ferguson, and they nod knowingly. They couldn't take it anymore. Who can blame them? I'll take the white supremacists any day. First, there are very few of them, and they have no power. Second, I can easily prove them wrong. But how do I shake off the condescenders, the patronizers? There are a lot of them, they have a lot of power, and they think they mean well. How do I convince them that as a black human being, I want to be, I must be, judged by the same standards as everybody else? So how about this for a change? Treat blacks equally, always, in every way. Not differently, not better, not worse. Not like we're demons, not like we're angels. Is that so hard to do? Because if we really want racial harmony, not to mention an end to racism, that's the only way to get there. I'm Chloe Valdery for Prager University.
Join Prager University. Click here to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click here to sign up for free at PragerU.com for quizzes, contests, and prizes.
Okay. All right, so yeah, so there you have it. Now, that's what she is saying. And what I'm asking you to do is to deconstruct what the fuck you just heard. And like I said, you couldn't see the visuals, which would have made it, you know, much more clearer on which side of defense she's on with this. And, you know, one of the other things that I noticed when Lupe pulled up the page for this, the YouTube page, which, again, we're going to link to, you know, on the side with YouTube, you have a list of other videos that you can watch that are, you know, more or less supposedly related to what it is that you're looking at on the current page. And what I see here is another one by her, Brandeis Unbecoming, a new video defending Hersey Ali by Chloe Valdery. Now, Hersey Ali, for those of you who are not aware, is, I mean, she's African, but, you know, she can't say a positive thing about black people. She doesn't have a positive thing to say about Islam, which, you know, I don't know how many times we've said it here in this fucking show. And like I said, because of the way things are and how people take shit out of context, you have to repeat your fucking self. And it gets redundant. It really fucking does. But I don't give a fuck about any goddamn religion. Yeah, I know, I'm an ordained reverend, but, you know, an ordained Buddhist fucking reverend. You know what I mean? You know, and, you know, yeah, and related to my Gullah background, you know, I mean, I'm recognized as a root man, but there's no, you know, legal ordination for that. I mean, that's a family thing. You know, that's the blood thing with me when I deal with Gullah people. You know, when I'm back home, you know, that's the status that I have. You know, if you want to call it that, that's my position within the community. But, you know, regardless, this man-made, you know, religious shit, man, you know, with these boxes y'all call fucking churches, synagogues, and mosques, man, fuck all that shit, man. You know, all of you talk about peace, but all I see is goddamn blood in the streets. All I see is, you know, limbs being strewn from one end of the globe to the other in the name of a God that nobody can see and nobody can point to. So, you know, I think all of you are fucking nuts. And Zionism, when it comes to religion, is complete bullshit, because Herzl was a goddamn atheist, just like me. He didn't believe in any of it. And at one goddamn point, he even suggested in written form that European Jews, Eastern European Jews like himself, should just go ahead and pick a goddamn church and Christianize, and maybe the anti-Semitism will stop. He used to do the Bill Cosby thing. And then after the Dreyfus affair, and look it up, L'affaire Dreyfus, the, you know, what happened to him, a Jewish military officer in France got caught up in a fucking military scandal, which, you know, which was really the establishment versus the progressives. But it quickly became, you know, a Judeophobic affair because Dreyfus was Jewish, right? So all of a sudden the Jews were trying to take over France, and you know, the same sort of thing you hear later on with Pierre Pujad and all that bullshit. And then, hey, fuck it, Vichy. What the fuck was going on in Vichy? What was up with that government, you know? It's not that, oh, fuck it. Why am I even going into this shit? Because, you know, we get into a fucking history thing and I start talking about De Gaulle and fucking, you know, OAS and shit, Secret Army Organization. Totally forget what the fuck I'm talking about. Well, I mean, it's kind of related, but then it isn't, you know, but it, I mean, what? The Secret Army Organization, OAS, came around because they didn't want to get kicked out of fucking Algeria. Right? Because De Gaulle was talking about, hey, it's cheaper to leave her in this case. And he was like, fuck it, man. You know, we just need to give this shit up. And the Pete Wiles were like, fuck you. You know, I mean, you had what? French army who rebelled against him. This is right after goddamn World War II almost. Right? And fucking French Foreign Legion, what? Two units split off. So, yeah, man, you know, this, again, you know, this is just a whole lot of, it's just a whole lot of bullshit. Here you got every 28 motherfucking hours, black people being killed. And her main argument is, we can't say, okay, you know, go out and destroy shit. Well, first off, nobody really said go out there and destroy any goddamn thing. Who the fuck said that? Nobody said that. Nobody fucking said that. Because that turned out to be a lie, too. What was it? The purge shit, right? No, don't bother to pull it up unless you really, like, have it, you know, something at hand. Because I looked a little earlier before we went on, and I didn't really see anything about it anymore. Because it was totally destroyed last night. There was no fucking purge. The cops were out here making it out that there was an organized resistance against the police. Just like that nutcase in New York City who was talking about there's a war on police officers and shit. You know, ain't no fucking war on goddamn cops. Are you crazy? If there is a war on cops, it's because of white fucking supremacists. How many goddamn times have we linked to this? How many times have I written about this? On the fucking, you know, the fact that federal law enforcement is worried about the white supremacists in this fucking country. And there was even a goddamn video that we posted to the other day on YouTube that some, I don't know. I mean, they were pretty maudlin about it. I mean, they were pretty respectful. They played some real cry-jerking music behind these white supremacists motherfuckers sitting there talking about how they're being oppressed. How, you know, there's black pride and there's this, but what about white pride? And it's like, what the fuck do you think the past 500 years has been about? And you can look, I mean, he didn't have any teeth and, you know, and that's not a diss. I'm just saying, it's obvious the man doesn't have any fucking money. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, his diet is bad. So he's not eating well. So he probably doesn't work fucking steady. He probably lives in crummy goddamn conditions. The fella that was sitting next to him, remember when we were watching that shit, Luke? He was overweight. He was obese. His skin looked terrible. His teeth didn't look too good. You can imagine that neither of these men have seen a fucking doctor in years. If they've ever seen a doctor. Have had any kind of medical checkup, and obviously both of their diets are fucking terrible. They look poor, which is really what they need to be motherfucking arguing about instead of complaining about being white and nobody kissing their ass every fucking 5 minutes. You know, I mean, when Obama was elected, man, I mean, you know, because Wall Street wanted him fucking elected, white people didn't lose a goddamn thing. He didn't take anything from you. If anything, he passed like 5 different new rules where you can walk around with it in schools and churches and parks and shit with guns. So it's like, what the fuck are you complaining about? Nobody's stopping anybody from buying any kind of weapon that they can fucking afford. You can buy several at a goddamn time. The guard in Manchester, the Manchester Guardian was like, hey, you can buy as many motherfucking guns at one time as you want in this state, that state, this state, that state. They ask no motherfucking questions. You could have been in a mental institution because, and I'm saying that, because, everybody's upset now with the German Airlines, that German airline firm, because how could you let this guy fly when you knew that he had mental problems? Well, fuck, they sell guns to people here with goddamn mental problems. And Wayne LaPierre and any of these other fucking yahoos will jump down your goddamn throat if you say that somebody can't fucking own a gun or ask them any kind of fucking questions. If you even ask them for a goddamn driver's license and shit, they have a fucking fit. They have a conniption. You know, they start coughing blood if you ask for any kind of responsibility to walk out of a fucking establishment and shit with something that can take the lives of fucking people. You know, no questions asked. But if a black man asks, well, hey, why are you fucking breaking the neck of people? And then he gets to the goddamn station and his spine is broken in fucking 8 different places. Oh, well, hey, he fucked himself up. He purposely fucked himself up. Well, how do you know that? Well, because the guy that was next to him said that he was trying to hurt himself. Well, how the fuck did he know that? Did he have x-ray eyes? Whoever the fuck this was? And don't tell me that they don't fuck you up in the police station. I know. Don't fucking tell me. Don't fucking tell me about that shit. Don't fucking tell me about that shit. You know. Don't fucking tell me about that. See, that's dipping into my motherfucking personal well of goddamn experience. Don't fucking tell me about fucking police abuse. Okay? So, you know, I mean, I felt it, I've smelled it, I've watched it. So, and when I say I smelled it, I mean just that. Watching a guy get the shit beat out of him by 3 motherfucking cops till he pissed all over his goddamn self and then fucking defecated when he dragged his ass back into the motherfucking place. Yeah, so, no. I don't want to goddamn hear it. And see, and I really wish these goddamn white bigots and these black sycophants, if they really, really, really are down with white power and white fucking supremacy and Jewish supremacy in Israel, just fucking come right out and goddamn say so. Stop beating around the fucking mulberry bush. It's really boring at this fucking point. You know, this election is coming up here for 2016. Obama's on his motherfucking way out. He ain't doing shit. And have you seen what the new attorney general has had to say? We're gonna support the police to do whatever the fuck they need to do to take control of the goddamn situation. And they're gonna and they're criticizing, talking about some nonsense about, oh yeah, well, the mayor there, the black mayor, because they're already talking about she's a woman, kind of like they did with Guantanamo Bay, right? Well, she was a woman running, you know, a girl general, isn't that what Ann Coulter? You know,
and you know he's a faggot,
you know, Ann Coulter, you know, calling people faggots and shit with a fucking Adam's apple the size of hers, you know, she's goddamn, you know, out here fucking, you know, insulting other women for being caught up in a political goddamn conundrum of bullshit. She had to follow orders like every goddamn buddy else. Now, I'm not excusing her or Lenny England or anybody else that was caught up in that shit. Her boyfriend, none of them motherfuckers, man, because they were all corrections officers in the United States. I hope you understand that. Go to the Wikipedia page and look for your fucking self. Matter of fact, go to Counterpunch. Go to the Manchester Guardian, go to the BBC, and you will see what these people did in their civilian lives when they weren't doing their reserve army duty. And then look at the billet that they gave them once they were fucking in country. So, yeah, you know, nah, man. Abu Ghraib, sorry, not Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib. I apologize. Well, Guantanamo Bay is another goddamn thing. I mean, you just had a fucking staff sergeant who was just on Democracy Now! Who wrote a book talking about 3 murders at Guantanamo Bay while he was there. So while we sweep all this under the rug and then we look at black people who are pissed off, who literally, I'm not excusing a fucking thing, but we knew what the fuck was going to happen. People are goddamn angry. They're going to fucking hit some goddamn buddy. And for the first time, they weren't hitting each other. And if you're old enough to know, really, to know what the fuck it is, because young people don't really seem to get this, or at least not able to understand this. When you Look, domestic violence is connected to this type of shit. It is easier to fuck up the people that you know that are right next to you rather than the force that is really fucking with you. Because you can't really do anything to that force. That's one. And number two, if you hit them, they just don't hit you back. They eliminate you. They turn you into a fucking, ink spot. A crimson and shit. And a chalk the fuck outline. You dig what I'm saying? Because they have the power to do that. That's what makes them the state. They have the authority to use, you know, that sort of force and violence. So, you know, that's what makes them different from you and me. You understand? And where the privilege comes in is that they're not doing it to certain groups, but they'll do it to you. Now, when they had the pumpkin riots, I don't remember anybody in the news calling those fucking white kids punks and thugs. You know, they were trying to understand why it happened. And when Joe Paterno, that goddamn enabler for a fucking pedophile, and I can't remember his name, and fuck it, I don't really want to, but as I said, I wrote a fucking piece on that son of a bitch and why the Republican Party in Pennsylvania needs to fucking be put out of business. Because the Republican Party in Pennsylvania knew all about that son of a bitch and was backing him. And when Joe Paterno got fucking dinged for this, those white kids rioted at Penn State. They beat up two reporters and turned over a fucking van and set fires and shit to get the trash cans, and not one motherfucker was arrested. Not one. The cops didn't yank up one motherfucker. Nobody was fucking taken to the who's gal. So, no. Don't insult my goddamn intelligence, Miss Valerie. Don't insult my fucking intelligence. You know, you're gonna fucking pick and choose like that? You're gonna do that? You're gonna front for white supremacy like that? That's my fucking opinion about that. That's my opinion. But what other kind of analysis can I walk away from with this? If you're going to really say don't judge blacks differently, then why weren't you saying that before this shit happened? If blacks were not being judged differently, none of this would be happening in the first place. Because like a lot of fucking people have been saying, nobody's talking about the shit, the violence that got us to this point in the first place. Every 28 fucking hours, she didn't mention that. But she talks about how the Klan and the people who are behind the discussions about, you know, this are basically, you know, on the same fucking page. And that she said in her own fucking words that she'll take the Klan and white racists anytime over, you know, and she didn't say progressives. She was very, very slick. She didn't say anybody except for those who are speaking up. Kind of like when Fox says, well, people are saying. It's vague. So this shit can go any which way or the other. But look at who's promoting this goddamn video. You don't see anybody who's supporting Baltimore in terms of, you know, justice for Baltimore, justice for black people in Baltimore, and all that, our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, and our Indian brothers and sisters who live in Maryland as well. I know people don't think in terms of Maryland, in terms of natives, but we're there too. And they beat up on us too. And we can't have a good fucking job and have a decent vehicle either. You know, so what's the real problem? Oh, you know, people are enabling these protesters. No, you are enabling, Miss Valerie, the goddamn racism. You are enabling it. And you know that you are. I'm not pointing out anything that you don't know. This is one Uncle Tom speaking to another. You know full well what the fuck you're doing. You know full well what the fuck you're doing. Because you know what? I used to do it too. I used to talk that shit. Don't judge us differently. But, you know, we're fucked up sometimes, and when we do certain things, well, we have to expect white people to be angry with us, because, you know, and I know the mindset, because I was there. This is the way I was raised. You can't do any better than what you're doing here, but Dad, they're racist. Well, you can't do it. Hey, look at South Africa. All right? Like, I should be glad that I'm here, you know, and not there, even though here was just like over there. And the only reason here is not like this anymore is because certain black people stood the fuck up and said no more. And I'm not talking about burning up their goddamn towns and cities and shit after King was killed and the riots that happened after, which were not as massive, after Malcolm was assassinated. You know, I'm talking about walking across the fucking Pettus Bridge, because everybody was talking about the Pettus Bridge, and that's another goddamn thing. I'm really tired of motherfucking bigots and Uncle Toms and the black apologists that I'm talking about, like Michael Eric Dyson and shit. You know, I don't want to hear anymore, you know. And really, what the fuck is up with Dyson and Cornel West? Now, I mean, I got complaints about both. I mean, you know, the shit that he was saying about fucking West, I'm like, shit, I said that shit about West more than 20 goddamn years ago. Where the fuck you been? But you ain't no goddamn better. I mean, he was on, what was it, Democracy Now, Luke? With, well, debating homeboy from Black Agenda Radio, right? Not Jared Ball, I don't think it was Jared Ball. No, it wasn't Jared Ball. Can't remember his name right now, but the editor-in-chief over there. And, you know, I said it when it happened on whatever dispatch we had at the time. They went up there using a whole lot of big goddamn words and, you know, okay, so you showed off. All right, you're real fucking erudite. I mean, Dyson's got a real bad habit. I mean, I talk a lot and I got a foul mouth, but Dyson, you know, he's so busy fucking trying to let you know how many goddamn words he has in his vocabulary. You know, get to the fucking root of the matter, man. So now, for you to be chopping up, you know, Travis Smiley and Dr. West have both been, you know, having their asses kicked up over their shoulders and shit lately by supposed, you know, black intellectuals. But, you know, it's like, wait a fucking minute, though. You know, and I've said this, you know, Travis Smiley, say what the fuck you want about Travis Smiley. I remember him being on Bill Maher when that shit was politically fucking incorrect. And I know, Luke, but I got to explain this because not everybody knows what I'm talking about. And I suppose if you go around on YouTube and look for it, you'll find it, and we should. But what it comes down to is it was Bill Maher, Tavis Smiley. I don't remember who this conservative, and I'm going to say Caucasian because that's what he was or is, conservative talk show host on some, you know, fucked up AM station here in the States. And this... I don't want to call her a sister because she's not a sister. She's just black. You know, because she lucked into that motherfucking color. You dig what I'm saying? And she's sitting there with her fucking eye contacts and shit and calling Smiley a fucking bigot and telling him he's hateful and all this bullshit. And then the white dude, one of the reasons why I remember the episode so goddamn much was he said to Tavis Smiley, eyeball to eyeball, you have benefited from slavery just as much as I have. And the fucking crowd, the white majority crowd, would not stop fucking clapping and whooping and cheering and punching the fucking air. You have benefited from slavery just as much as I have because you're in America. And who's that other goddamn Tom that I told you about that I can't stand? No, not Larry Elder. He's another motherfucking Uncle Tom son of a bitch that I can't fucking stand. Along with Michael Steele. I mean, these are just human fucking lawn jockeys. I mean, you know, really, from the bottom of my motherfucking heart, that's exactly what the fuck they are. I don't give a fuck with, man, hey, human fucking lawn jockeys. Larry Elder was out there pumping that whole fucking orbital eye socket blowout bullshit, which was a fucking lie. And he pushes all other types of bullshit out there, too. He's a fucking idiot. He's a fucking idiot. Larry Elder is a fucking moron. Michael Steele has... Where is he now? J.C. Watts, where the fuck is he now, right? Hey, how about Maya Love? Does anybody give a fuck about Maya Love anymore? The Klan was sending her goddamn threats. What did the GOP do about it? Nothing. Now, you have some asshole fucking... you have some wanker trolls who were talking a whole bunch of shite about, oh, yeah, well, you know, the Democrats sent that to her. Well, then fucking prove it, you fuck idiot. Prove that. There's no fucking proof for that. Well, his proof supposedly is that, well, the Democrats started the fucking KKK. That was more than a fucking 100 years ago. How many of those motherfuckers vote Democratic now? And stop talking shit. They don't. And yeah, there is a video of the Klan saying that they were supporting Barack Obama. And why did they say that they were supporting Barack Obama? They said because they hoped they started the fucking race war. They said, we're voting for this nigga because we hope it's going to start a fucking race war. Because that way, white people will understand what the fuck we're talking about when the country falls apart. That is what the fuck they said. And they said that they're recruiting military fucking people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're talking conspiracy. They're talking about taking over the fucking government. But see, they're not being fucking investigated. Why is that? I mean, somebody asked Ms. Valdirie why they're not going after the Klan, which is also anti-Jewish, the way they're coming down on Ferguson, on Baltimore, on New York, on Philly, right? They were in Philly last night. They were in the street in Philly. And then there's L.A. And then there's Dallas, right? And then there's Chicago. And hey, she's free to answer. I know she's going to hear this. You know, you're free to answer me, Ms. Valdirie, you know, if you want to. Because, you know, in our little response and shit on Twitter, I asked her a fucking direct question. When she said that, when that is true, that progressives and shit are worse than the fucking Klan, right? You know, that was my question, really. You know, paraphrasing what the fuck, you know, she's supposed to be about. And her response was, yep. Because they mask their racism, whereas the Klan is more overt. So my response to her was, how many black apologists commit racial terrorism and do everything possible to keep POCs from exercising their legal rights? And her answer was, you know, to say right with two T's and a fucking period. So, and I asked her, is that your answer? And she never fucking responded. So yeah, that was her goddamn answer. That was her goddamn answer. That she wasn't going to motherfucking answer it, see? That she was going to goddamn ignore it. So I'm going to ask her if she really is a fucking Zionist. And she's, you know, really down with what the fuck she's talking about. And she's so against goddamn violence and shit. And she thinks that violence, you know, in any form is fucking bad. Then I want to know what her opinion is on the fucking Warsaw riots. The riots that happened in the Warsaw fucking ghetto. I want to hear from her what the fuck she thinks about that bullshit. Because the Germans and a whole lot of fucking Poles at the time said that they were motherfucking out of line. And the shit that happened in Baltimore isn't even close. And the shit that happened in Ferguson isn't even close. And yeah, there were some opportunistic jerks, but there were also some people that found white motherfuckers looting over there in Baltimore, and nobody pointed them out. I guess they were locating food, right? They were locating that beer and soda and shit and the chips that they were stealing. Because we saw that during Katrina, didn't we? White families locate food, black families steal food. And with the LA riots, what the fuck happened with that? Who was doing most of the goddamn robbing? I'm not saying this to be fucked up, but Mexicans were doing the majority of the fucking stealing. The majority of the fucking stealing. They were filmed by the major fucking news agencies stealing everything. One was even filmed telling the goddamn reporters, take it, it's free. I am not saying that fuck the Mexicans steal. That's not what the fuck I'm saying. I'm just saying black people got blamed for that whole goddamn thing. Right? What was that white guy that was pulled out of his truck? I don't remember his name. I know it was with a D or something. But I remember him being on the Phil Donahue show when he still had a goddamn show. And, because he used to be out of Ohio. I don't know how many of you know that. But, married them all the time. What does that matter? But anyway, what I'm trying to get to is that he had that fellow on, and I can't remember his name right now. And just about every white person in the fucking audience insulted that man because he said that he forgave the people that you know, that basically fractured his fucking skull and nearly took his life. He said that he forgave them, but not the situation, of course. You know, and he said that he understood why they were angry and why they jumped on him. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I don't know if I could be that goddamn forgiving, you know, but it was refreshing to hear somebody like that because, you know, he was looking beyond shit, and I guess maybe because he came that close to losing his life, it gave him some insight. But see, the other thing that probably gave him some insight was the fact that a black couple has saved his fucking life. You know, it was a black couple that was passing through when the riot began. The two husbands had pulled this man, you know, whatever his name was, they pulled him out. And the wives, like, you know, tried to push the crowd back, and they got him into their vehicle and got him to a hospital. That's how he made it. And, you know, until the Phil Donahue show, most people didn't even know that that happened. But it was just niggas going after Whitey, right? Niggas coming after Whitey. No give a fuck about what, you know, what got this shit started and the fact that Rodney King was not the only motherfucker beat like that. That was just the first time the shit was caught on video and something was done about it. See, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense used to run around with 8mm cameras and they used to film arrests. But of course, you know, that would have to be developed and what have you. Now, it's straight up. The video was there, you know, the data's there, and they can do whatever the fuck, right? So, yeah, man, you know, this whole thing about violence, man, yeah, I'm against violence. But defense, you know, like I said, I'm not going to support anybody when, you know, beating on a fucking private business or whatever the fuck, or fucking up somebody's home or damaging public property. I'm not into that. I've never supported that. And for a lot of different reasons. One, I don't see the fucking point in it. Second, is it's a stupid fucking, you know, misuse of goddamn energy that could be going somewhere. But like I said, you know, you want to get angry with these kids. And yeah, it's not like I'm not fucking frustrated with them. It's not like I'm not angry with these fucking young people. Believe me, I am. And they hear from me. I'm not, I've never bit my goddamn tongue about fucking lecturing any motherfucking young person I thought was fucking totally out of line. Believe that. Or politically motherfucking ignorant. Believe that. But my goddamn point is this. If you're going to want to get on them for not having any motherfucking leadership and shit or any goddamn direction, ask where the fucking leaders are. How long did the Ruba Bin Wahad do in the motherfucking hole? How long did Geronimo Pratt do? To then be found innocent because they were framed and shit by the fucking government, right? COINTELPRO, CHESAMARD, NUKIL, the Black Desk. Instead of looking up shit for the fucking Illuminati, why don't you look up real goddamn information? Instead of wasting my time with bullshit about things that do not fucking exist that you heard from white racist named Alex Jones. Or from a, you know, self-hating, self-deprecating, you know, black racist. And you can pick your fucking black Republican for that. Because they're out there and they're legion. They're legion. And don't fucking come to me with some shit about the Reverend Al Sharpton. I know more shit about the real Al Sharpton than I want to goddamn know. I know that motherfucker's people, all right? So, you know, don't fucking... You know, I hate even white people and fucking, you know, black Republicans want to act like they trying to tell me something I don't already fucking know. We already fucking... No black revolutionary, no black fucking anybody that's got any fucking thing going on about them has anything positive to say about Al Sharpton. So fucking don't come to me with that. Don't come to me with that. Well, the Louis Farrakhan, just that, you know what? Louis Farrakhan's on your side, so I don't even want to motherfucking hear it. Louis Farrakhan is one of the reasons why Malcolm X isn't here any fucking longer. Louis Farrakhan didn't do anything when the mosque in Philly was running as a front for the fucking black mafia. Look that up. Look that up. And look at how long it took for the police to finally really do anything about it. Because they weren't trying to do anything about it until they stopped paying. And they stopped paying because their management structure got fucked up. Because people got greedy. You can't take and oppress people. And then in many ways, and like I said, I'm guilty of this my goddamn self. But it's becoming more fucking evident that the argument has to be, we have to motherfucking organize them even if they don't want to fucking be organized. So that way we don't have to have this bullshit goddamn discussion about, oh, well, these kids are out of fucking control. Of course they're out of fucking control. You took everything out of the community that would keep them in fucking control. That would make them independent and foot strong. That's why I don't want to hear from Rand motherfucking Paul. You can't put men in goddamn jail and shit for looking at a fucking white cop the wrong way and then condemn the motherfucker for not being there. You can't tell people, and this is Rand Paul, he and his father Ron, this is their motherfucking argument. If you don't want to hire black people, you shouldn't be forced to. And racism, well, hell, you know, if people really don't support it, then your business will just go out of business because, hell, you know, this is America. That's a whole lot of bullshit. You deny a motherfucking man a job simply because he was born what the fuck he is, and then you condemn him for drinking all day. You condemn him for smoking a fucking joint because he's so goddamn upset he's either smoked the joint or put his head through the fucking wall. Or take it out on his woman when she comes home because she's allowed to have a little fucking petty job so that way that motherfucker feels like shit. And don't tell me that that's not a fucking program because I know it motherfucking is. Ask anybody that's grown up on goddamn welfare. Your mother gets a job anywhere, she can't tell them because they'll cut whatever the fuck. And it's not because, oh, well, I'm living grand here on this motherfucking check. No, because if you make any goddamn money, you don't start out making no fucking 15, 16, 18 hour goddamn job after you've been out of work for 8 months, a year and a fucking half. Are you crazy? Maybe if you're white and you're from the white corporate sector, you might have a pull like that because you can make a phone call, send an email, ask your father to talk to some fucking buddy, ask your aunt to put in a good word for you. Maybe you can do that. I mean, most of the fucking Negroes I know who have a Lexus and shit, that's how they got their goddamn positions. Not because of what they were good at, what the fuck they do, it's because of who the fuck they knew. And I'm going to be straight up about this too. Like I said, I'm in a fucking mixed marriage, and I've been in, you know, a bunch of, you know, mixed relationships, but it's never really done anything for me. You know, in terms of, say, you know, going to get an apartment and having a white girlfriend, where, because I knew if I didn't have a white girlfriend, they wouldn't have given me that goddamn apartment. Or going someplace and having to bring a white friend. I mean, having to bring a white friend for the simple fact that the white friend vouches for me. Not because he necessarily says anything, but the fact that he fucking came there with me. Man, oh, okay. Here's two preppy looking motherfuckers. One's black, one's something else. Yeah, I mean, one's white, one's something else. Yeah, okay, he'll pass. You know, that is always been that way. If you don't have a white rabbi as a friend, man, you don't get too motherfucking far in life. Ask Obama. Ask Loretta Lynch, who's ready to give law enforcement whatever the fuck they want, including the death penalty, to keep doing what the fuck they're doing. The same thing like her predecessor. He didn't stand up for the black community. He made a couple of statements. You know, he made a couple of statements, but he didn't motherfucking, you know, go after these goddamn people. Like I said, what was it? The great race speech of 2008. All the great race speech of 2008 was about that niggas are too angry. And white people have a reason to fucking be upset. Because you niggas are too angry. What is that Jesse Lee Peterson, that sorry son of a bitch, another one of those Fox bastards, one of those fucking human lawn jockeys on Fox. Motherfucker talking about black people getting too angry about this Freddie Gray shit and forced homie to fucking get up and walk off the goddamn show. Whoever the fuck the brother was that they had going against him. And it's like, you know, come on, man. You know, come on. Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, bigotest son of a bitch who complained to a black politician on his goddamn show on Fox that, you know, there's too many fucking non-whites coming in and they're taking over the fucking country. You want to take over the fucking country. Was it Charles Barron, right? He said, you want to take over the country. You want to take everything from white people. So, man, fuck that. And Sean O'Hannity, that punk son of a bitch. Yeah, yeah, you fucking, like I said, I know Boston Irish. That fucking Hannity and O'Reilly ain't shit, man. Go to Rhode Island or Boston and talk your fucking province. Yeah, you know, talking that bullshit, man, fuck that, man. You know, I mean, Hal Turner is a fucking friend of goddamn Sean Hannity. Or at least they were fucking friends until he snitched on his neo-Nazi fucking pals, right? He snitched. He was a snitch. He was a snitch. Hal Turner once a snitch, always a snitch, I guess, right? Yeah, listen to some of those fucking bigoted goddamn podcasts and shit that come out of Jersey and some parts of New York. I don't know. I'm assuming it's New York City. What do they call it? The Right Perspective? Fucking guys trying to do their best Leo Garcia and shit. You know, talking about South Africa. How whites are being exterminated in South Africa. It's the genocide that nobody's talking about. I don't know why they just don't fucking pick up and go over there from wherever the fuck they're from. They're from Queens? You said they're from Queens? Well, why don't they just pick up and go to fucking Pretoria then? You know, I mean, Ter Blanc is dead, you know, who was over there taking sexual advantage of his goddamn black woman. Because, you know, they chopped him up with a fucking shit.
Internet radio for smart of original.
And then there was another case of some white supremacists over there, the W something, one of these goddamn Africana white racist groups. they attacked the farm and did in all these people, and then tried to blame black radicals for it. But then somebody came out and said, no, you know, my group did that. We were hoping to start a race war. And I didn't hear anything more about it. The South African press didn't really get into it anymore. You know, I mean, we really need to discuss, you know, how these things are being taken advantage of, you know. I mean, Prager University, I don't know. I mean, they seem to be, you know, pro-Israel and whatever. Okay, fine. You know, do the fuck you want to do. But don't, you know, put some shit out there saying that. When you got Jews in you know, from the United States and from England and wherever the fuck, and wherever else that they can fucking find people, because I mean, now they're giving fast track Israeli citizenship to people from India. They never gave a fuck about the Jews in India. They never gave a fuck about the Jews in China either. They really never gave a fuck about the Jews in Russia, not until it became politically fleeting to do so. You know, I mean, you might remember during the 80s, especially when they were quoting the UN all the goddamn time to release Jews from Russia, which that was wrong, and they should have fucking released them. But then once they came into the country, they didn't do shit for them. They didn't even try to help them. And now the neo-Nazi problem, and there is a neo-Nazi problem in Israel, is primarily fucking, they're Russians. They're Russians. So then it really brings up the question, what the fuck is a Jew, right? You know? And then if you're not even going to fucking take in people who are Jewish simply because they come from, like, maybe Ethiopian Jews. Have you heard about this one? The police riots they're having, the anti-police riots they're having right now in Israel because of a Israeli police officer who got the shit beat out of him on video by some white cops over there in Israel. And now people are fucking pissed about that. I mean, this is the same country now, Miss Valderie, if you're still listening, that sterilized, it has admitted to sterilizing Ethiopians. But that's okay, right? And selling the body parts and shit of Palestinians and poor Jews, really. Because, you know, you have to remember, they didn't just do this to Palestinians. They did this to poor Jews as well. Putting their fucking organs on the black market. I mean, there were rabbis involved in this shit. There were rabbis involved in this. So, no, you know. I mean, I can halfway deal with the Zionist perspective to a fucking degree. But if you're going to turn around and come up with a quasi, you know, objective goddamn, you know, screed out here saying that, you know, anybody that's, you know, condoning this shit. I mean, again, first off, nobody's condoning this motherfucker. But trying to find answers and talk, I mean, nobody credible anyway is condoning this shit. I just mentioned, yeah, there's some Afrocentric motherfuckers out here talking about melanated this and melanated that who are like, oh yeah, well, go tear it up. Well, see, it's easy for that motherfucker to say that shit because as far as I know, he don't live down there. You know, when you burn out your entire fucking air, you're stuck with it. I'm saying there's smarter ways to fucking do shit. And I understand you want to punch a motherfucking wall. Hey, if you fucking actually are fighting the fucking system by standing up to the system, you're going to have to fucking fight anyway. And see, and that's what these motherfuckers don't understand. And this is what I'm angry about in terms of that is not fucking being brought up. But like I said, the people who can get that kind of an analysis, they fucking are being hassled. Or they're in the fucking joint. Now, I don't know what's up with Daruba Bin Wahad. I know he still speaks openly whenever he can. But he just had a run-in with the police. He just had a run-in with the police. They're still going after Black Panthers. Years later. Decades later, they're still going after Black Panthers. I mean, come on, man. Stokely Carmichael. I mean, how many guys... I mean, not Stokely Carmichael. Oh, man. You know, that's a goddamn shame. I can't remember this man's name right now, but he had retired from all that shit, was running a Muslim community down there in Atlanta or whatever the fuck, and then they got him for shooting at a cop or some shit. I mean, they've been after him for, I don't know, but H-Rap Ron. Yeah, they've been after, thank you, Lupe. I mean, they've been after that motherfucker for how long? And they finally got his ass. They got him in a Supermax some fucking where, right? You know, so it's not, he didn't, I mean, we don't really know what the fuck happened. But again, they attach all of these cases to police brutality. When you look at Assad Shakur's police brutality, right? You know, when it was Daruba Bin Wahad, it was police, you know, it was a case of police brutality. You know, so all of these things, that is basically how they corralled the entire black movement was by portraying black people, and especially black revolutionaries and civil rights advocates, as being anti-police. This is the pattern that has been going on for fucking decades. It is not new. It is ongoing. And you know, it's seemingly going to continue with people like Ms. Valerie that are going to make that kind of a motherfucking analysis when she didn't say a goddamn thing about the police violence. Other than to say it's there. And that, you know, yeah, well, other people, you should be responding to it differently. Well, I agree. But the way that she came down on this shit, no. I cannot, do not, will not. It's just impossible for me. So, you know, I'm done for right now. And, you know, it is what it is. It's going to continue. And at some point, somebody's going to do something to stop it. One can only hope. This is the Angry Indian. Please stay tuned.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're gonna stand together. We're gonna have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance in solidarity. We're gonna have some progressive whites, all of us. And we're gonna march on this pig power structure, and we're gonna say, stick them up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
Intelligence Aboriginal Radio, Angry Indian Radio for the Fourth World.
Internet Radio for smart of originals.
I'm Dick Gregory with PETA. Martin Luther King Jr. taught me the fight against oppression is never an easy one. It's even harder if you have no voice. For animals held captive in circuses, life consists of cramped cages, shackles, and daily beatings. There is no escape. They cannot demand their freedom. Images like these bring only one word to my mind, slavery. Be an abolitionist for the animals. Please don't go to circuses. For more information, contact PETA.
757-622-PETA.
This is Noam Chomsky. Strong evidence suggests that the Bush administration launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is FSLN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
Would you like to hear the lie that judges tell jurors every day?
Listen up. This matters. I'm Lewis Black, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute with ACLU attorney Bill Newman.
In a criminal case, the judge instructs the jury, you decide the facts, but you jurors must apply to those facts the law as I explain it, And if the prosecution has proven the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, then you must return a verdict of guilty. The problem with this instruction? It's not true. It's not true at all. And the judge well knows that, but most jurors don't. Jury nullification, the right of jurors to say no, to just say no to a prosecution, was central to the Bill of Rights. Indeed, Thomas Jefferson famously believed that jurors' right to nullify was central to democracy. Writing in the Champion magazine recently, criminal defense attorney Patrick Barone cautions that care must be taken when considering nullification because juries can use that authority to enhance and augment the power of the elite rather than to limit it. But, Barone continues, jury nullification can and should be a critical limitation on legislatures bent on promulgating and judges bent on enforcing ever more overreaching criminal laws. The take-home lesson here, criminal juries should know of their right to nullify because that power can constitute liberty's last defense.
The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the American Civil Liberties Union because freedom can't defend itself.
Good morning, this is Orson Welles speaking. I'd like to read you an affidavit. I, Isaac Woodward, Jr., being duly sworn, do depose and state as follows. That I am 27 years old and a veteran of the United States Army, having served for 15 months in the South Pacific and earned one battle star. I was honorably discharged on February 12, 1946, from Camp Gordon, Georgia, at 8:30 p.m. at the Greyhound Terminal, Atlanta, Georgia. While I was in uniform, I purchased a ticket to Winnsboro, South Carolina, and took the bus headed there to pick up my wife to come to New York to see my father and mother. About 1 hour out of Atlanta, the bus driver stopped at a small drugstore. As he stopped, I asked him if he had time to wait for me until I had a chance to go to the restroom. He cursed and said no. When he cursed me, I cursed him back. When the bus got to Aiken, he got off and went and got the police. They didn't give me a chance to explain. The policeman struck me with a billy across my head and told me to shut up. After that, the policeman grabbed me by my left arm and twisted it behind my back. I figured he was trying to make me resist. I did not resist against him. He asked me, was I discharged? And I told him yes. When I said yes, that is when he started beating me with a billy, hitting me across the top of the head. After that, I grabbed his billy and wrung it out of his hand. Another policeman came up and threw his gun on me and told me to drop the billy, and he dropped me, so I dropped the billy. After I dropped the billy, the second policeman held his gun on me while the other one was beating me. He knocked me unconscious. After I commenced to come to myself, he hollered, get up. I started to get up. He started punching me in my eyes with the end of the billy. When I finally got up, he pushed me inside the jailhouse and locked me up. I woke up next morning and could not see. A policeman said, let's go up here and see what the judge says. I told him that I could not see how to come out. I was blind. He said, feel your way out. He said, I'd be all right after I washed my face. He led me to the judge, and after I told the judge what happened, he said, we don't have that kind of stuff down here. Then the policeman said, he wrung my billy out of my hand, and I told him if he didn't drop it, I'd drop him. That's how I knew it was the same policeman as had beat my eyes out. After that, the judge spoke and said, I fine you $50 for 30 days in the road, and I said I'd pay the $50, but I did not have the $50 at the time. So the policeman said, you have some money there in your wallet. He took my wallet and took out all I had. That was a total of $40 and took $4 from my watch pocket. I had a check for $694.73, which was my mustering out pay and soldier's deposit. Said to me, can you see how to sign this check? You have a government check. I told him, no, sir. So he gave it back to me after that. Took me back and locked me up in jail. The policeman did. I stayed in there for a while, and after a few minutes, he came and asked me if I wanted a drink of whiskey. If I took a drink of whiskey, he said I'd feel better. I told him, no, sir. Didn't care for any. About 5:30 that evening, they took me to the Veterans Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina. One of the contact men came around one day and said to me they were going to take out a pension for me. I believe that the doctor who cared for me was named Dr. Clarence. I told him what had happened to me. He made no comment, but told me I should join a blind school. Sworn to me, it was 23rd day of April, 1946. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had that affidavit in my pocket a few hours before dawn. When I left off worrying about this broadcast long enough for coffee at an all-night restaurant, I found myself joined at the table by a stranger. A nice, soft-spoken, well-meaning, well-mannered stranger he was. He told me a joke. He thinks it's a joke. I'm going to repeat it, but not for your amusement. I earnestly hope that nobody listening will laugh. This is the joke. Seems there was a white man who came on business to a southern town, it could be Aiken, South Carolina, and found he couldn't get a bed in any of the good hotels. He went to the bad hotels and finally the flop houses, but there was no room for him in any of the inns reserved for white folks in that southern city. So at last, in desperation, he applied at a Negro hotel where he was accepted with a proviso that he would consent to share a double room with another guest. With rueful gratitude, this white man paid his bill, left a call for early in the morning. He rested well, quite undisturbed by the proximity of the sleeping colored man beside him, and was awakened at the hour of his request. After breakfast, he left the railway station where he boarded his appointed train, but the conductor would not let him into any of the regular coaches. The man was told quite rudely to go where he belonged, the Jim Crow car. The hero of this funny story allowed he hadn't washed in the morning that the dust of travel must be responsible for the conductor's grievous social miscalculation. He went to the washroom. He started to clean his hands. They were black. An even hue of black. Then he looked into the mirror. His face was the same color. He not only looked darker than white, he was quite visibly a Negro. A great oath precedes the final line, which is presumed to be the funny part of this little anecdote. I know what's happened are the next words of the man. It's very simple. They woke up the wrong man. I left the teller of this tale in the coffee shop, but I found I couldn't leave the tale itself. Like the affidavit I read to you at the start of the broadcast, it seems to become a permanent part of my mental luggage. I sketched in my imagination a sequel to the stranger's funny joke. I saw the man of business who'd gone to bed, a white man, getting into an argument with the conductor. I saw a policeman boarding the train at the next station and taking the man of business out on the platform and beating the eyes out of his head because the man thought he should be treated with the same respect he had received the day before when he was white. I saw men at the police station trying to make him take a drink so that the medical authorities could testify that he was drunk. I saw the man of business bleeding in his cell, reaching out with sightless hands through unseen bars, gesturing for help that would not, could not ever come. And I heard his explanation echoing down the stone hallways of the jail. I know what's happened. It's very simple. They woke up the wrong man. Now, it seems the officer of the law who blinded the young Negro boy, the affidavit, has not been named. The boy saw him while he could still see, but of course he had no way of knowing what particular policeman it was who brought the justice of Dachau and Osvikin to Aiken, South Carolina. He was just another white man with a stick who wanted to teach a Negro boy a lesson, to show a Negro boy where he belonged in the darkness. Till we know more about him, for just now we'll call the policeman Officer X. He might be listening to this. I hope so. Officer X, I'm talking to you. Officer X, they woke up the wrong man. That's somebody else. That man sleeping there is you. The you that God brought into the world, all innocent of hate, a paid-up resident member of the Brotherhood of Man. Yes, unbelievably enough, that's you, Officer X. You, still asleep. That you could have been anything. It could have gone to the White House when it grew up. It could have gone to heaven when it died. But they woke up the wrong man. They finally came for him in the blank gray of dawn, as in the death house they come for the condemned, but without prayers. They came with instructions, the accumulated ignorance of the feudal South. And with this peculiar briefing, they called Cain for another day of the devil's work while Abel slept. Wash your hands, Officer X. Wash them well. Scrub and scour. You won't blot out the blood of a blinded war veteran. Nor yet the color of your skin, your own skin. You'll never, never, never change it. Wash your hands, Officer X. Wash a lifetime. You'll never wash away that leprous lack of pigment, the guilty pallor of the white man. We invite you to luxuriate in secrecy. It will be brief. Go on. Suckle your anonymous moment while it lasts. You're going to be uncovered. We will blast out your name. We'll give the world your given name, Officer X. Yes, and your so-called Christian name. It's going to rise out of the filthy deep like the dead thing it is. We're going to make it public with a public scandal you dictated but failed to sign. We pause now for a word from the philosophers. A short reminder regarding the matter of payment and cost. Nothing is paid back. That does not happen, not on Earth. A favor cannot be paid back, neither can a wrong. We say a criminal pays for his crime when we lock him up, that a murderer pays for his murder when the state murders him. But really, the state is hiding an unsightly object. Society is merely sweeping its dirt under the carpet. We may sometimes manage to cure the thing called crime, but the man called a criminal is never punished. He can be inconvenienced or tormented or done away with, but he cannot pay for what he has done. If the ledger is ever balanced, it is not by him, but by some other man having nothing to do with him. It is balanced by deeds of virtue, by unrelated good works. The evildoer's agony doesn't show on the books. Only that fiction known to us as money can be paid back. The true debt, the debt of a friend to a friend or a foe to a foe, outlives the principles involved. So much for payment. Price. That's something else. There's a price for everything. There's nothing that does not have its cost. Joy and inspiration and mere pleasure have a market value precisely computed in terms of their opposites. The cost of youth is age. The cost of age is death. You want love? The cost of love is independence. You want to be independent, do you? Then pay the price and know what it is to be alone. Your mother paid for you with pain. Nothing, nothing in this living world is free. The free air costs you the life-consuming effort of breath. Freedom itself is priced at the rate of the citizenship it earns and holds. What does it cost to be a Negro? In Aiken, South Carolina, it costs a man his eyes. What does it cost to wear over your skeleton the pinkish tint officially described as white? In Aiken, South Carolina, it costs a man his soul. Officer X may languish in jail. It's unlikely, but it's possible that he'll serve as long a term as a Negro would serve in Aiken, South Carolina, for stealing bread. But Officer X will never pay for the two eyes he beat out of the soldier's head. How can you essay the gift of sight? What are they quoting today for one eye? An eye for an eye? A literal reading of this mosaic law spells out again only the blank waste of vengeance. We've told Officer X that he will be dragged out of hiding. We've promised him a most unflattering glare of publicity. We're going to keep that promise. We will build our own police lineup to line up this reticent policeman with the killers, the lunatics, the beastmen, all the people of society's zoo where he belongs. If he's listening to this, let him listen well. Officer X, after I have found you out, I'll never lose you. If they try you, I'm going to watch the trial. If they jail you, I'm going to wait for your first day of freedom. You won't be free of me. I want to see who's waiting for you at the prison gates. I want to know who will acknowledge that they know you. I'm interested in your future. I will take careful note of all your destinations. Assume another name, and I will be careful that the name you would forget is not forgotten. I will find means to remove from you all refuge, Officer X. You can't get rid of me. We have an appointment, you and I, and only death can cancel it. Who am I? A masked avenger from the comic books? No, sir, merely an inquisitive citizen of America. I admit that nothing on this inhabited earth is capable of your chastisement. I'm simply but quite actively curious to know what will become of you. Your fate cannot affect the boy in the country hospital for the blind, but your welfare is a measure of the welfare of my country. I cannot call it your country. How long will you get along in these United States? Which of the states will still consent to get along with you? Where stands the sun of common fellowship? When will it rise over your dark country? When will it be noon in Georgia? I must know where you go, Officer X, because I must know where the rest of us are going with our American experiment. Into bankruptcy or into that serene tomorrow, that plenteous garden the blind soldier hoped for when he had his eyes and with eyes opened went to war. We want a word to lighten his darkness. You're sorry for him? He rejects your pity. You're ashamed? He doesn't care. We want to tell him soon that all America is ashamed of you. If there's room for pity, you can have it, for you're far more blind than he. He had eyes to see and saw with them, made out, if nothing else, at least a part of the shape of human dignity. And this is not a little thing, but you had eyes to see and you have never seen. He has the memory of light, but you were born in the pit. He cannot grow new eyes to open the world again for his poor bruised head. Never. No. The only word we can share the martyr with to carry him from the county hospital to the county grave is word concerning your eyes, Officer X. Your eyes, remember, were not gouged away. Only the lids are closed. You might raise the lids. You might just try the wild adventure of looking. You might see something. It might be a simple truth. One of those truths held to be self-evident by our founding fathers and by most of us. If we should ever find you bravely blinking at the sun, we'll know then that the world is young after all. That chaos is behind us and not ahead. Then there will be shouting of trumpets to rouse the dead at Gettysburg. A thunder of cannon will declare the tidings of peace, and all the bells of liberty will laugh out loud in the streets to celebrate goodwill towards all men. The new blind can hear. It'd be very good if they could hear the news that the old blind can finally see. Then, Officer X, you'll find that you can wash off what should be washed, and it will be said of you, yes, even you, that they awakened the right man. Now it's time to say goodbye. Please let me come to call again. Next week, same time. Until then, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American Broadcasting Company invites you to be with us again next Sunday afternoon at 1:15 o'clock over most of these very same stations when we shall again hear from Mr. Orson Welles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying, for Men in Hip Hop. Really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about. It should be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. And it's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Papa, November.
You are listening to the Young Grindian and Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
You.